This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
There's still time. Join online at kpft.org and do your part. Your pledge is tax deductible. If your employer has a matching gifts program, your pledge could be doubled. That's kpft.org to pledge now. Thanks again. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
You're listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston. And now a special salute for the 40th anniversary of the album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
always tell me what I should do with my life, Always trying to tell me what's wrong, they never tell me what's right. All this depression's bringing on the depression, and that's not how I want to be. But in the back of my mind, I know I'll be fine. Don't need nobody to influence me. Yeah. I've tried to hide this feeling inside me, taking my time to tell ya. Well, I've been searching for someone to help me through this, but now's the time, the truth is coming out. Deep inside, I am who I am. I know I gotta be me. I have taken all I can take. Let me breathe. Tired of running and all of this hiding. It's time that I just break free. Well, maybe you'll understand exactly who I am, whether or not you accept me. Inside me, taking my time to tell ya. Well, I've been searching for someone to help me through this, but now's the time, the truth is coming out. If my fine, tell me what's right. Gotta be me. Let me. I don't have to hide it anymore.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
it's so bad when I start cracking myself up that hard.
Okay.
I'm not repeating what I just said because I'm definitely going to hell and I don't want to go on an official record.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. Hi, honey. Yeah, I've got a cold.
And he's got a cold. And
yeah, so I may be hacking into the microphone tonight.
Join the revolution. 11 gay artists.
Oh, my. Yeah, we got a CD from those fine people who bring you Radio with a Twist, and we're trying to see if there might be a queer artist on it.
Goddess is.
Yeah, Goddess is. And there's a couple others that I know of. Well, we have a packed show tonight. Because we've got a couple After Hours quickies tonight. We've got Cult 45s here and a fine entertainer that I'm going to talk to. Aurora Breyer is here. Hatch is here, waiting in the wings, and they're anxious to talk
to
you.
God, I was running that late. I didn't even see the hatchlings?
Yeah, well, they're out in the back smoking or whatever it is they do. I don't know. they're
you damn young whippersnappers, get off my lawn!
Yeah, well, hey. They're going to be talking about the Hatch Prom coming up next weekend. And then, of course, David and Robin are here with the bisexual segment. So, woo!
Let's see. Starting Ooh-wee. Off, let's see. The music.
So we have yes, music. We started out because I wanted to help celebrate the 40th anniversary of the
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
That's right. That's right. Album that really kind of changed music. It was all Beatles. It wasn't the kind of commercial stuff that they had to write when they first came out. This is when their personalities were starting to shine through their music. So
and before Yoko Ono screwed everything up.
Well, that too. And so
I'm still trying to figure out which one was
played the opening cut because that has the lead in into the Ringo Starr Friends thing.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm Which is trying to follow along, you know.
Try, yeah.
Yeah, try.
You can only try.
Hey, I heard enough about the anniversary stuff yesterday when I was going to work.
Well, now you're...
The BBC was covering it.
Well, duh.
How did I miss that?
Yeah, and then second, fine Houston performer.
Depends upon one's point of view.
I'm trying to see if you remember his name. You got it half right before.
Josh Duffy.
Hey!
Yes.
Ding, ding.
With his favorite, actually, one of his favorites. I mean, when you're talking about a singer-songwriter, when you ask them, what's your favorite cut, it's like saying, which one of your children is your favorite? He really liked Truth. Because
I know some people don't have problems with answering that question.
It was his coming out song, and it has a whole lot of meaning for him. And, you know, whenever we have the hatchlings on, I like to do something along those lines. Anyway, some stuff going on in the community. First, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star is proud to announce, oh my goodness, they've got a whole weekend of stuff going on next weekend. Peasants Revolt Weekend, starting on day one on June the 8th, is presented by members of ERESIS and the Peasants Royale, Scott Kenyon and Marsha Mink Gill. Spam-a-lot. Oh, gosh. I that's going to be nice and sick and twisted. June the 8th, 8 p.m. at EJ's, located at 2517 Ralph Street. And then day two.
They need to change that street.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. When you go to a gay bar, the last thing you want to think of is Ralphin.
Day two is presented by the Monarchs and members of ERESIS. That's Turnabout, where the girls become boys and the boys become girls. That's also that's at 7 p.m. Oh, God, an hour earlier? And all those folks have to get into costume. They'll never make it. That's at also at EJ's. And day three of the Peasant Revolt Weekend is the Monarch's Revenge, presented by Emperor 23 Chris Big Daddy Bling Bling Beck and Empress 23 Cheyenne. She doesn't have a little thing there, you know. Name in quotes.
Oh, everybody has those things, you know. I remember when I went to Coronation, it was like everyone had a title that...
Well...
You know, your business card is a piece of poster board.
They're just not putting it on there. And that's...
They're not putting out enough for her.
The college... Well, I don't know about that. Along with the College of Monarchs and special guests, A Night in the Orient. That's June 10th, 8 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. 817 West Dallas.
Actually,
that's a nice venue. That's very nice. I love the stage there. It's raised and you don't get a... There's not a bad seat in the house.
No, she doesn't have any fancy title. See, she ran on a pose, so she didn't have to come up with all that fancy hoo-ha.
Oh, you know, people give you those titles and, you know, maybe she just doesn't want to promote that.
What did they mean by sweet cheeks?
Sweet cheeks? Who's
Where?
Sweet cheeks? Did I miss something? Oh? Where do you
see sweet
cheeks?
I don't see sweet cheeks on there.
It's not on there.
Oh. Oh. Well, Robert's got some information that we don't have then.
Somebody was talking about her and
said, called her sweet cheeks?
In reference to her, sweet cheeks.
Wow.
What did he mean by that?
I don't know. I'll have to look at her butt the next time I see her. Anyway, over at ICOH, breakfast at Mary's, as usual, 10 o'clock. Later this morning, and your monarchs will be serving, we're hosting breakfast at Mary's, and the menu will consist of biscuits and gravy, bacon, sausage, fruit, and breakfast will be served 10 to noon. That's, you know, if you just, you wake up, and you gotta have that Bloody Mary before noon, Mary's is the place to go. So, there you go. Then...
Yeah, I got Mary right there in the middle of the name.
Uh-huh. Got it. Then, let's see what else is going on. Let's see. Later on this evening, Sunday, June the 3rd at the BRB at 7 p.m. I was country when country wasn't cool. What, yesterday?
Reva?
I don't know. Anyway, that's being presented by Crown Prince and Princess. I said Crown Prince first, didn't I? Okay,
yeah.
So that would be Craig Farrell and Sarah and her showlanders. That's, wow. They've got limited number of tables are for sale.
I wonder.
Wow.
It's not a very large venue.
BRB?
To begin with.
Oh, well, you know, you put a lot of tables on that stage there.
Yeah, but none of them on the dance floor.
Well, that's what I mean, on the dance floor area. Yeah, that's where they put them. Stop. You've been there before.
Will you quit interrupting him?
Okay.
Only once or twice.
Okay. And, of course, every Monday is Montana's movie night at Mary's. That's happening around 7-ish. And jukebox show on Wednesday, as always. And then we've got... Jeff and Rose are airing Everybody's Dirty Laundry again at Mary's Naturally, Saturday, June the 9th at 8:30 p.m. Fundraiser for ICOH, Rain 5. Oh, cool. Okay, and let's see what else is going on in the community here. As you fill up your June calendars, please remember that the Community Center is saluting GCAM at our monthly GLBT night at Hollywood. That's the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, and that's at their informal dinner Tuesday, June the 12th. We meet at the new home of Hollywood Vietnamese and Chinese,
and
2409 Montrose Boulevard, the former Senorita's location. Dinner begins at 6:30. Guests can order what they wish from the menu of Chinese, Vietnamese, and French fare. As always, we will give away door prizes donated by Outsmart, and we'll have some special Pride-themed items this month. You don't have to RSVP if you plan to attend, but it's always appreciated, so we can make sure how much space they have to reserve. So, that comes from Tim Brickover. And let's see, there's a fun run happening. Houston Pride 5K Fun Run or Walk, June the 9th, 2007 at 7:30 a.m. Hello. That's the Assist HERS is the beneficiary of this. It's the 10th year running. It is time again to kick off Pride Month. What better way than to run or walk through Sam Houston Park? Well, how about crawl? Join the participants or come out and cheer them on to the finish line. Awards and fun immediately following the event. Please go to the link for event registration information, and that would be dubcubed.geocities.com/HoustonPride5K. So, and then I would be remiss if I didn't remind folks about something really special that's happening in the community just for After Hours and KPFT, something that has not ever happened in our almost 20 years here on radio, and that somebody is throwing a fundraiser for us.
No.
Cool, huh? Okay, and here it
is. No, because they expect us to perform.
Good morning, Houston and all surrounding counties. Turn up your boombox, iPod, home stereo system, or car radio to 90.1 FM for the KPFT radio station's fundraising gala. It's marked as one of the social events of the year. Many of Houston's premier entertainers will be in attendance to help KPFT public-supported radio station. This event will take place Saturday, July the 14th.
Bastille Day.
There, yeah, just...
I was still trying to wrap my idea of, you know, get it on social the event of the year.
Well, hey, they're going to have...
That's for a shut-in, I guess.
They're going to have the Laurel and Hardy of Queer Radio there as guests. Yes.
Yeah, and if they don't start tipping, you know, we're going to start the strip show early. And
oh, boy, yeah. And that's happening at EJ's Bar and Grill.
And for a change, it'll be gay men stripping there.
It'll be 8:30 to 11. And Jim Crawford is putting this on. I don't know why he calls himself James Crawford. Maybe he wants to distance himself and make people think it's somebody else. I don't know. What do you think?
He's using his real name, you know.
Yes.
If you find that papyrus that your birth certificate's on, it probably says James on it, too.
Careful. Be very careful. That's, and KPFT After Hours personalities, you and me.
Wow. And all the rest of them that are in our heads.
So what have you got?
The only thing I got in is this just in, Cheyenne does have a full-blown yakety-yak name.
Well, yeah.
Her most royal sovereign imperial majesty, the fire and ice, black and white diamond phoenix, bling-bling lovin' empress extraordinaire.
Oh, she's a bling-bling, too, huh?
Well, it's the year of the bling.
Oh. More like fire and ice, huh?
No, like, hold on. Year of the bling. Believe, love, inspire, nurture, give.
Wow.
Bling.
Cool. Gotcha.
The part that just scared me on here earlier is I was looking at the Aresis website and found somebody I know, and I have to tease him now that he's a czar.
Well.
Didn't realize he was a czar.
We have czars? When did that happen?
I don't know. He went from consort to czar.
Goodness. And Crystal Ray Lee Love is a czarina. I did not know that. Wow.
I'll have to tease him when he comes back to town.
So is that all you've got?
Yeah, I didn't even look at my emails.
Well.
All right, so he's going to go into the other room now. We still don't have a mic in there, so.
Where can I stick it in?
Stick it in! Oh, and I'm sorry. I'll do it more officially. Stick it in!
Oh. Actually, I should just... leave it. Oh, thank you. And pick up one of the other ones in here.
Hey, I don't care, you know.
Already, yeah.
Quality dead air.
It's community radio. They don't expect us to be professionals. Thank you, David.
Only when it comes to street corners is he professional.
Mm-hmm. We have the Colt 45s, and for tonight, we have the president of the Colt 45s, Sir Corwin.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
You have an entourage with you of sorts?
I've got several other Colt members here with us,
uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But we're here mainly. We want to talk about some shows coming up.
You bet. You bet. I know Helen Highwater has got one happening tonight, right?
Yep, she's got one tonight. Actually, it starts in the afternoon. It starts at 2. It's from 2 to 5. They're going to be doing a fish fry and dinner for... It's being hosted by Mr. Prime Choice 2007-2008, Gregory Misakian.
Oh, yes.
It's only $5.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so it's going to be over at George's.
Mm-hmm.
So we want everybody to come over to George's tomorrow afternoon and join us for a fish fry.
You bet. I'll be running late. I have to take Stanley to the airport tomorrow. He's going back to Seattle.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be there after 4.
Then between 5 and 6, we're going to be doing a silent auction with all sorts of wonderful auction items to be
Ooh.
Given away.
I talked to Helen about that because the last show she did, she had some baked items that she made herself.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, were they fantastic.
She's a good cook, too.
Yes, yes.
And, of course, you can't have an event without a show of some sort, so they'll be doing a drag show at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. till whenever, depending on how many people we get to show up for.
Absolutely, absolutely. And but it's all for the Colt.
So. It's all benefiting the Colt 45s.
All at George, right over there on Fairview.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the another thing we got going on is that Tommy, one of our cult members, has offered up a 52-inch projection high-def television set he's auctioning off.
Oh, that's right. When is that happening?
Well, the actual drawing will be held at our anniversary show on the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And he's auctioning off this TV. It's $20 a ticket.
You got tickets on you?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Yeah.
He's got them all, but we'll have him there tomorrow.
Okay.
We will have him there tomorrow at George's. So come on out, George's. Get the tickets. Like I said, $20 for a chance to win a 52-inch projection high-def television set. You can't beat it.
That's a big old honker.
Yep. He's only got 100 tickets for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And once he sells those out, that's it. You have to be at the BRB on June 10th. After 7 p.m., they're going to be doing the drawing at our anniversary show.
That's not a problem.
So you got to be there to win.
Okay, and I'll be there.
For $20, you can't beat the chance for winning that kind of a TV.
No,
I mean, it's a beautiful
kidding.
Set.
Yeah.
It's got great color. Everything's just beautiful. It's an awesome deal.
Wow.
So,
and it's HD.
It's HD.
Wow.
And he was offering that up, and let's see, what I think it was is 15% of the proceeds will go to the Colts.
Great.
So
great.
We're doing good with that.
Okay.
And then on June 10th at 7 p.m. at the BRB, we've got our 31st anniversary show and awards. It's our 31st year, and we're burying it this year. We're doing all
You're
sorts
bearing
of,
it?
We're burying it, yes.
Yeah.
We're having all sorts of fun. Normally, Colts have been known for having all the clubs decorate everything from Christmas trees to wreaths to shoes to
mm-hmm.
boots and to stockings.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, we're having everybody decorate stuffed bears.
And, you know, GCAM has one of each.
Yes. So we're trying to get all the community clubs. I handed out, I think, about 15 different bears to different clubs and community organizations. They will all be judged, and the winner will win a 2-foot-tall stuffed bear with a leather vest.
Aww.
And the rest of them will all be auctioned off at a silent auction that night.
Mm-hmm.
So come and pick out your favorite bear.
Yes.
We'll be having a show. We want all performers to come out and help us out with this show. We'd love to see everybody out there. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, where's that again?
It's at the BRB.
Mm-hmm.
June 10th, starting at 7 p.m.
That's next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Yeah.
It's a show for the Colt 45 charities, so come on out and help us out.
And when you say awards show, what does that mean?
The award shows is on our anniversary. We do awards that are for Colt members.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from, we have like Slut of the Year,
ooh,
we have Drunk of the Year, we have Bitch of the Year, stuff like that. But they also have the Member of the Year Award and stuff like that. So
you have comic ones and then your
comic
serious
ones and
ones.
A couple serious ones. Yeah. And everybody come out and see who gets what. Nice. It's nice. A lot of fun. It's voted on by her membership.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun.
Let's see if somebody else will get Slut of the Year this year, huh?
Yeah, probably, yeah. We'll see who all gets what. We also have, I think the other one was for... what was it? Pledge of the Year.
Okay.
Also. So
okay.
We had about three or four different pledges this year. So we'll see who gets that one too.
That's
yes.
Nice. Okay. So tell me about the different funds that the cults have.
Cult 45s, we've got several different funds. Our largest one is the AIDS Trouble Fund.
Mm-hmm.
The AIDS Trouble Fund is a fund for people who have AIDS, who need help with their rent or their utilities. It's we're the last ditch effort. They've already tried everywhere else.
Uh-huh.
They've already exhausted all their other funds of getting out any other money. They can come to us. We when they apply for it, what we do is we write out the checks actually to whoever the bill is for. We don't write it out to the individual.
Right.
So if it's for a phone bill, we write it to the phone company, mm-hmm, or their rent, we write it to the apartments. And we help out so that they can live. It's hard enough living with everything they have to live with, then not to be able to have the necessities like electric, phone,
right,
rent.
Right.
Those things you've got to have.
And when you're living on SSI, sometimes you have to decide whether it's medication or food.
Yep. So we try to help out whatever we can.
Okay.
Then we have the Till Thatcher Fund, which is a general fund for charities that we can use that money for donating to other charities, mm-hmm, who need help with their fundraisings,
okay,
and stuff, too.
Okay.
So, and we meet on the third Monday of the month at the BRB in our club office upstairs. Anybody would like to find out more about it, you're more than welcome to come join us. We also have a hotline type line that you can call and leave a message. Our number is 713-526-6077. You can always leave a message there and we'll get back with you. Our meetings start at 8 o'clock. So if you would like to come on out to the BRB on the third Monday at 8 p.m. and join us and see what we're all about, just because we're called the Cult 45s and most of us do the Western wear and the Western thing, that is not a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Our priority is taking care of the community.
Okay. And the group itself is kind of a working group, social group?
We're more working group,
yeah,
and some social. We do, like I said, we meet once a week, every week, going through the applications for the AIDS Trouble Fund, and we have to go through all that. We have a lot of paperwork we've got to go through to file and make sure everything's all legal and legit. They've, mm-hmm, had all their medical bills and everything else are all up to date and everything where they're at and their process, mm-hmm, and all. So, yeah, we do a lot of work, but we also do a lot of socializing too.
Yeah. So, by doing all this work, that means that all the money that you raise or that gets donated to you goes out to the client.
Every penny of it. Not a single cult makes a penny off this. The only thing that we will do is once in a while we have specific shows to help so that we can pay for our phone line. That's
okay.
The only bill we have. So
that's
we
it?
Have a show just to help pay for that every once in a while. Everything else is all donations.
Cool.
We get people who donate money to our working fund periodically to help out with all of our paper, ink, and all that good fun,
mm-hmm,
stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
The BRB is grateful enough to give us an office space.
Nice.
So they're really wonderful for that.
Yeah.
They've been helping us out a lot there.
They've been doing that for years and years and years.
Years. We're now 31 years old. We will be June 10th.
Wow. So what does it mean to be a pledge?
To be a pledge. Pledge is when you want to become a member, you become a pledge. And pledgeship is a 3-month period,
mm-hmm,
that you get to try out the club, see if it's something that you really want or don't want, and the club gets to try you out and see if you're a type person they want with the club as well.
Okay.
So it gives us a little trial period, and everybody gets to see what they want to do and if it fits for everybody or not.
Okay. So do you ever have people that you find out really aren't a good fit? Does that happen often?
Not often, but it has happened in the past. Yeah, it has, where they realize how much work it really is, and they decide that, you know, they just want to go someplace and just have fun.
And
we understand, you know, that's fine. Then they go their way, we go ours.
Okay.
You know? No hard feelings, no big deal. It's just come out and see if that's what you like.
But if you really want to do something for the community, and the cults seem like a place to go.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, great. Okay, we're happy to have you here every month to talk about the cults and what's going on and fundraisers, because I know they're all important to the future of the cults. Keep that money coming in so you can keep it going out.
Right.
Yeah. And later on in the year, you'll be doing, or are you going to be involved in Christmas activities? Stuff going on.
Later on in the year, we always have other stuff. We have other we have several large shows. We have one in the fall, which is our fall show. Fall harvest type show. Then we have our Christmas show every year. And our Christmas show, we vote on and do actually community awards, which are a lot of fun too.
Yes, they are.
So for performers and people who help out a lot with the community and who in the community have helped out the cults and all.
And I was very, very proud to get the Danny Villa Community Award last year.
Well, we appreciate all the work you do for the community and for us.
Thank you.
We also do a show called the Bare Bones Show.
That's
always put on by Daddy Rose.
And yeah.
She does that, and the performers basically, instead of coming out in full drag, they have to leave out part of their costume of some sort to show that everybody's stripped for something and trying to help out.
Well, and that kind of happens toward the end of the year when money gets a little tight.
Yep, always, every year.
Yeah.
Right now, during the summer, we need all the contributions we can get because the electricity starts to rise, and that's when people can't start making those electric bills.
And
that's when we really start trying to help out, because you can't do without electricity here in Houston within the summer.
No, you can't, and it's doing nothing but going up and up and up.
Oh, yes.
So more money is needed.
Yep.
So, folks, get out there either this evening over at
George's,
or, later on this evening, over at George, or tomorrow afternoon, actually.
Yeah, George's, 2 o'clock starts. Starting
next Sunday over at the BRB at 7 p.m.
Yep.
And check out some of those bears. I know there's going to be a pink one there.
I'm sure there will be. I'm sure there'll be a lot of interesting looking bears there.
Yeah, if there's a pink one, it's got my name on it. So, Carl Wren, thank you so much
for
being here. And do you have a piece of music to go to, Chris?
I think so.
Good. And then we'll be talking to Aurora Breyer.
I'll play the song and everybody rotate.
Okay. Like what you done.
I just want to let you all know that are out there on the back patio.
Yes.
You're on camera.
Oh.
And what we saw you.
Uh-huh.
And it's being filmed.
Uh-oh. Oh, my.
And if I can find a way to put it on YouTube, you're out of luck.
I was just going to say, I think later on today, that's going to be on the internet somewhere.
I can't see exactly who it was, but somebody out there wasn't paying attention to the song because they did feel like dancing.
I see.
The Scissor Sisters, I Don't Feel Like Dancing.
Yes. Well, folks, if you don't follow the fundraising trail, there's a lot of shows featuring drag performers raising money in the community. And even if you don't follow them, if you have maybe bumped into two or three in the last year, you have probably seen a performance by Aurora Breyer, and I'm very happy to have Aurora here this evening.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. I'm very happy to be here again.
Yes, yes. Aurora has another name, I'm sure.
Yes. My boy name is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, okay. So, how long has Aurora been out and about in fundraising and doing stuff like this?
Well, I sort of call it on a full-time basis, a little over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Once I won my first title, that pretty much put Aurora out into the forefront and has taken her off and running.
Okay, before we go any further, let me ask you, there are terms that are used, and one is drag queen, one is female impersonator. Do you have a preference for either one?
I have no preference. Drag queen's fine with me.
Okay.
I have no problem with any of them. I know what it is that I do, and I have fun with it, and so I want everybody else to have fun with it as well. I'm not going to... I don't get caught up in all that.
Okay. And long, long ago, back in the 60s and the 70s, before the AIDS crisis, when guys dressed as women and went on stage, they got tips and they got to keep them. And I mean, that was, you know, part of maybe people did it full time as their job.
I'm sure.
But once AIDS hit, the drag community jumped in there.
Yes.
And now to go to a show featuring drag performances and see the performers actually keep the money is just unheard of.
Yes, it just doesn't happen very often. There are, you know, a few venues here in Houston that do have performers on a regular basis, and that they do that as a full-time job. That's how they make their money. But for the most part, when you go to, you know, the clubs on the weekends and see a drag show, and the main thing is to listen to these people and say what it is that they're, why they're there.
So what was your first title?
My first title was Miss Keys West.
Miss Keys West.
Yes.
And was that, I mean, were you new to drag when you got that
title? Yes, I had, when I first moved here to Houston, I was working at a local bar, and they did a turnabout show a couple times a year to raise money for different charities for their, you know, employee fund as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that's when I first started dabbling. Once or twice a year was more than enough.
Doing all of that. I mean, it takes time and it takes money.
It does. It's especially for somebody like myself, who I used to be an actor years ago. This, I wanted to embrace it as a part, as a role.
Sure.
So I wanted to make sure that I did it right.
Ah.
So I took my time and kind of dabbled and had fun with it and sort of explored it. And, oh, well, maybe this is, you know, something.
Well, that kind of makes
a
difference.
Something interesting to do.
Now I can put it into place because somebody who just all of a sudden decides to put on a dress and makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to win a title. I mean,
exactly.
But if you've been in acting and doing that kind of thing.
Right. It's all in how you embrace it and how you want to, you know, follow that path. There are people that do it, you know, for their own personal fulfillment.
Sure.
And, you know, more power to them, however they want to express themselves doing that.
But you do it.
I chose to do it as a performer once I realized that, you know, I couldn't financially you know, give money to these organizations.
Sure.
You know, I work one, two, sometimes three jobs, you know, to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that there are people in the community that can't do that. And from something simple, at least from my aspect, putting on an outfit, you know, playing a character for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
People giving you money that you can then in turn turn right back to the community.
Yeah.
Was sort of a wow moment for me to say, oh, so just by me going out and having fun and exploring, you know, a character,
sure,
I can help the community and do that, you know, at the same time. It was a wow moment. Went, oh, okay, well, this is something cool.
Yeah, well,
let's see what we can do with this.
The whole actor thing kind of really puts the icing on the cake. I mean, it explains it all to me, because not everybody who puts on a dress and puts on makeup and gets on stage is good at it.
Correct. Correct.
I mean, there's lots of examples in our community
of
people who aren't very good at it or comfortable.
Right.
I'm not comfortable on the stage,
right,
in front of people. I hate it.
Not everybody is, right.
I hate being on stage. I can be on a microphone 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter.
But when you're there and the lights in your face and, you know, the crowd's looking at you, suddenly it's a whole different ballgame.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And to get up there and be good at it, you know, like you are.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
But not only that, you've won lots of other titles, but you've crossed lines and raised money for myriad different,
yes,
organizations.
I was very, very lucky.
Yeah.
I really was. The title of Miss Keys West opened a lot of doors for me.
Yes.
And really showed me how many people there are out there in the community, not only in need, but also that are out there trying to help on a regular basis.
See, I remember when you were Miss Keys West, and I had the impression that you had been doing this for quite a while.
No.
And because you were so good.
Well, thank you very much. That title for me was a little bit... Well, one, it was a little unexpected. I hadn't been doing drag for a while, mm-hmm, and decided to try for the pageant. Heard, you know, it's a small bar. I figured this will be a good opportunity. Yeah. Won't be a lot of pressure like a gay pride,
oh, sure,
pageant,
sure,
or, you know, some of these other large things. So I was like, let me start small. Just get a little more comfortable on a microphone and answering questions on stage and sort of the persona.
And you won
it. Well, actually, originally when I did the pageant, I didn't win.
Oh, what?
I was the first runner-up.
Oh.
Originally, I was the first runner-up. Then the person that did win did not follow through in any of their commitments for the title.
Oh.
So as first runner-up, I was given the title of Miss Keys West.
Gotcha.
Once I started performing, putting on shows, mm-hmm, there at Keys West, raising money for PWA Holiday Charities.
Yeah. Great organization.
The owner of the bar then decided that I was doing such a good job, he changed the timetable of the pageant,
mm-hmm,
so that I would be able to reign for a full year.
Oh.
Because he was very proud of what it was that I was doing. The original pageant,
sure,
was in August.
Mm-hmm.
I got the title in December. And shortly afterwards, I started. He changed that to January.
Wow.
So that I would be able to have the title for a full year. And when I originally did the pageant, as I said, it was just something small. It was,
yeah,
there were only two of us. It was very small. My goal, though, in addition to raising all the money, was that I wanted at least five performers. I wanted at least five people in the next Miss Keys West,
okay,
competition. And I was able to raise the profile of that title to the point where that's exactly what I had.
Wow.
And I raised over $5,000 in that one night for that title.
That's pretty amazing.
And I was very, very proud of that.
Yes,
absolutely.
You should be.
Very proud.
You should be, because that was a small bar. Tony's Corner Pocket.
Correct.
And there's still shows going on
as
well as Dancing Boys.
Yes. But that was what got me started. You know, getting out there and having people invite me to be a part of their show.
Yes.
And, you know, I was able to sort of get into this, you know, community and see how much need there was and how many people were out there working hard at it. And as I said, just, you know, for my own aspect, being able to go out and perform and have fun doing it while I'm helping people, It was a no-brainer
That's
for me.
That's pretty amazing. It's still amazing to me because, I'm no performer, and I watch people with talent up there, and I'm just in awe.
It's a lot of fun, you know. It really is. It took my mom a little time to get used to, but now she's one of my biggest fans.
Good. Well, because of the talent.
Well,
you're getting to use it. You know, if you were still an actor, you might not get that many gigs.
That's true. I'd probably be waiting tables somewhere.
So you're using your gift, and that's what's important.
Yes.
Plus raising money for the community in so many different ways.
It has been very, very fulfilling. I've had a wonderful time doing it. As I said, I started out as Miss Keys West.
Mm-hmm.
I also ended up winning Miss Gay Pride for Houston.
Yes,
for 2004
that.
As well.
Yes.
When they were doing the Faces competitions at Key West, Copa Productions.
Yes,
I was a Face of the Month twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also, right now, the current reigning Miss Mint Julep.
Ah, yes. Now that means you've raised a lot of money.
Yes. Yes, we...
Because that's what the title is all about.
Correct.
It's about raising money.
Absolutely.
It's one of those rare titles that you can buy. Yes, they come right out and say, you can buy this title.
You can buy this title.
But it takes thousands of dollars to buy that title.
The title is from Legacy Community mm-hmm. Health Services. Mm-hmm. The kind of organization that they are, they can generally only raise money themselves for a certain amount of time throughout the year, you know, due to all the government restrictions and things for their money. This is the one thing that they do for themselves.
Yeah.
They created Sana Alton and Keith Knapper, who's also mm-hmm. known as Cheyenne, created this to, you know, help Legacy raise funds for all of the services that they offer. And it literally is a title you can buy.
And it's an incredible show, too, because every performer in town wants to be in it when they...
Absolutely.
It goes on and on and on.
I competed for 3 years before I won. So
you've raised a lot of money.
I tried my hardest.
Wow.
And finally this past year I did.
Good for you.
And that's going to be coming up in July
mm-hmm.
is when I'll step down. And they should be starting a kickoff in the next week or so.
They should be, because, I mean, any aspirants to the throne need to start raising that money.
Right. They have about a month or so
mm-hmm.
in which they can raise money ahead of time, put on shows and things, so that they walk into the pageant already having some
money.
And then, of course, whatever they raise that night as well.
There you go.
Last year, I know the goal for this year is $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Legacy hopes to raise throughout all of this mint.
I'll bet they'll get it, too.
Kickoff. Last year, they ended up doing 40.
Ooh.
So they blew it out of the water last year.
Wow.
Don't know if we can quite do that again, but I think 25 is very doable this year.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, for one show, that's a hell of a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. It absolutely is. And that's one of the great things, too, about being out there and being a performer and being parts of all these shows is
mm-hmm.
I get to, you know, enlighten a lot of people who might not realize what it is that we're doing. You know, they see a small show, you know, especially if it's a 7 or 8 o'clock show on a Friday and there might not be a lot of people there, and they mm-hmm. think, what are they doing? Well, you know what? We're still raising money.
That's right.
A dollar at a time.
A dollar at a time.
And whatever we walk out of that bar with is more than we started with.
Yeah.
But it gives me the opportunity to talk to people and say, well, you know, this pageant that I was a part of last year, this current title that I have, we raised $40,000 that one day.
Yeah.
And they go, oh.
Yeah.
You know, and suddenly they realize, oh, okay, well, this isn't just some, you know, people getting together in a bar and putting on a little show. We're raising money and we're raising awareness. And, you know, for such a large gay community in one of the largest cities, you know, you have to continually spread the word.
Absolutely.
And let people know what it is that we're out there doing and why we're doing it.
Yeah.
So it's been a wonderful ride. It really has.
And I salute you for your part in it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I still have fun with it, and as long as I continue to have fun with it, I will continue to do it.
Good. Thank you for being on After
Thank
Hours.
You very much for having me, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time now.
Thank you. Well, once I have some more Mint Julep information,
I
would absolutely love to let you know who some of the contestants are for this year.
I would be,
and what they're going to be up to. The pageant itself is going to be July 15th,
okay,
which is a Sunday at 3 o'clock at Rich's. is. So that's when everybody will be strutting their stuff to the finest. But in the meantime, I'll definitely come back and let you know who's doing what and who's getting ready for it. I'm going to be happy to.
Good. Thank you, Aurora.
Thank you very much,
Jimmy. Jerry. Chris, take us away.
Take it away.
Oh, am I Calgon?
For those of you under the age of 20.
Jim Varros.
Okay.
Jim Varros, and that was...
Yeah, what was that?
Move.
Move, baby, move. And I bet he can, too.
I don't know. I have a hard time there. I'm not sure whether I like him in the geeky stage that he was on American Idol.
Oh, no.
Or this Pat Benatar reject he's wearing right now.
Careful.
Look at that hair. That's Pat Benatar's hair.
Well, yes, it is.
It could be worse, you know. I mean, there for a while, my mother stole her hairstyle from Prince Valiant comic strips.
That's cute.
Well.
Okay, it is finally time for Hatch.
Oh, yeah, and I forgot. We're one mic short in there.
And you're listening to...
Oh! Good Lord, it's that late already?
I know, I really screwed it.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Well, I told the Hatch folks that they were going to be on about 15 minutes ago, and you know me, I just kind of gabbed.
Who forgets you? Brooke.
Okay. I'm shutting up now.
As I tell my one coworker, we're going to start calling him Brooke because he's babbling.
Oh.
All right.
You're on.
Oh, hey, we are, right, huh? Hey, welcome. Hi, I haven't talked to y'all in a while. Anyway, this is the hat segment of the radio, and so I'm going to give y'all a few things, information, right before we get started. So let's go around real quick and say names.
Hi, my name is Seth. I was the one dancing on the patio.
Madison, 19.
Oh, hi.
Ashley.
Amber. My name is Chris.
Okay. So we got Seth, Madison, Ashley, Amber, and my name is Chris. Anyway, this is the hat segment, so I'd like to give you a couple numbers right before we start off. To get the hats line, I want you to dial 713-529-3590. To get the hats website, www.hatshoop.org. And everything, which you can see a thing of events and programs and what we have coming up. And another important number, which is really good to have, you can put it in a GLSH, which is Gay and Lesbian Switchboard Houston, which is 713-529-3211. Perfect to have on you. So now that we got the numbers out of the way, we got a big issue coming up, a big event. And so for anybody that's ever been reaching for the stars and everything, and stuff, we got an easier way for you to get there now. It's called The Stairway to Heaven, the theme for the Hatch Prom this year, June 8th. Anybody like to talk about that? Like Chris,
maybe? I would love to talk to y'all about prom. June 8th from 7 to midnight is Hatch Prom. For ages 21 and under, it's free for Hatch Youth. If you're older than 21, it's only $25. All accepting to anyone, even straight people. That's okay, too. Wear a costume. Come and drag. Wear a tux. Dress as you wish. Bring a date or bring a friend.
Or bring yourself.
Or you can go by yourself. That's cool, too. Rock solo.
I went stag last year.
Okay, at $100, you can receive two tickets and your name in the printed program. At $250, you can receive four tickets and your name in the program and a professional photo.
That's only if you...
These are donations, right?
Yes, before. Donations. Would y'all like to read off who's donating to us?
Okay, well, some of our... I guess you could say...
All of our donators and sponsors read off the list.
All right. We have Aladdin's Mediterranean Cuisine.
Woohoo!
Baba Yaga's, one of my favorite restaurants. Barnaby's Cafe.
Woohoo!
Also very good. Bayou City Performing Arts.
Great food.
And we also receive donations from the Coca-Cola and Minute Maid Company.
Great food, too.
The Daily Review Cafe. The Dessert Gallery. Diedrich's Coffee. European DNR Cafe and Deli. Don Carlos Catering.
Mm-hmm.
Half Price Books.
Can't eat those.
Nico Nico's.
Very
Jackson
good.
Jackson and Company. The Radio Music Theater.
Don't know if you can eat there.
Raven Grill and Picnic. Riva's Italian Restaurant.
Sounds
I love
good.
Their food. They have good lasagna. Star Pizza. The Chocolate Bar, which makes these great little candies. They call them chocolate rocks. It's like M&M's, but they look like polished rocks, and they are so good. And Ziggy's Healthy Grill.
That's for all those healthy people out here that are trying to watch our figures. Which is only me, apparently.
So more about prom. My favorite thing about prom is prom court. Because in prom court, there's prom king, there's prom queen, there's princess and prince. And since it's Hatch and everything's all accepting, any gender is okay.
And okay, prom king.
I have been nominated for prom king, and I think that's the coolest thing.
Who else has been nominated?
A lot.
Amber has been nominated for prom prince.
You're welcome.
And let's see. I think one of our friends was nominated for prom queen.
Who?
And he's a boy.
Josh. We can't bring names.
And let's see. Who's prince? Well, the two. And princess is
Were they nominated for both?
Oh, I don't know.
There's actually a lot of people that's been nominated.
Yeah, there are a lot of people.
We just don't know who it is, who all it is.
Yeah, we vote at prom.
We vote at prom when you walk in the door.
So before you just say this, there's a lot of people for prom king and queen and everything else. Even Deb Murphy is a nomination for prom king. Just thought I'd throw that out.
So that's my favorite part about prom, is prom court.
Well, that was... Anybody want to talk about that?
Actually, you know, funny thing about Deb being nominated for prom king, last year, we, like, all wanted to plan to have her win prom king, but that didn't happen.
Well, she's nominated, because so...
Technically, she can't.
We really, really want
Hatch Youth
donations for Hatch, because our goal was to raise $5,000 for Hatch prom, and if we raise over $5,000...
Both Deb and Bill will be in a dress.
Drag. They both said they would do it. I'm holding them to it, too.
And I have never seen either one of them in drag.
This is true. Neither of them wore makeup.
Mm-mm.
So this will be fantastic.
With big bouffant hair and shiny red stilettos.
It will be campy.
Yeah,
so if there's somebody out there listening who wants to donate to the Hatch Prom, how would they do that?
By contacting 713-529-3590, extension 1, or extension 3. That will give you either Deb Murphy with extension 1, or Bill Alexander with extension 3.
And remember, and that'll get you in touch. Have a lot of money to donate. If you donate $100, you receive 2 tickets and your name in the commemorative printed program. And at $250, you receive 4 tickets, your name in the commemorative printed program, and a professional prom photo.
So here's what I wanted to talk about. Since we're not going as much as we want with prom court, I know everybody likes it, and vote me for prom queen. See, I'll use this for publicity.
I was prince last year.
Yeah, well, that was last year. This is
and
this
then
year.
The little crown was like a little
that was last year.
Thing.
That was last year. Back to the prom court thing. Prom. What's everybody doing for prom? What are you doing to prepare for it? Are you bringing dates? Who are you bringing? What you doing?
And dressing like a boy.
What else is new?
You're not dressing like a boy. You're dressing like you are.
I'm dressing like a boy. Anyways, my
suit... I thought you were a boy. What are you?
Oh, my gosh. Let me talk. My suit jacket is white, and it's pinstripe, of course. It's cute.
And it's from the little boy section.
It is, because nothing fits.
Jeez.
You don't understand. No! It was such a deal.
No. You get price... You get deals.
Excellent deals.
You, like...
It's because I'm so tiny.
Yes.
At least you're not shopping in the women's big and tall section.
Last time I was that small, I was about 8 years old, I think.
Well, I get to shop in there forever, so I'm all good.
Who are you taking?
Home, I taking the
present? Yeah, where's your date? I kind of see your date lying around.
She's over there. She's going with me.
Oh. Hi, Ellie.
Oh, she's here.
Hi, Ellie.
Hello. Get her close to her microphone for the new year, yes.
So tell us, darling, what will you be wearing to the prom?
Oh, heck no, she can't go first.
Well, I was thinking of one of many suits. I was thinking about just coming in as a guy and leaving as a girl. And who knows, maybe something interesting in between, you know?
Yay, I get a genderqueer date. That makes me really happy. Anyway, so what are y'all doing for prom?
Yeah, what are you doing,
Seth? Who are you taking for prom?
Yeah, Seth, who are you taking for prom?
Chris was pointing at you.
I want to know about Matt these days. Since you outed me, I'm going to out you.
And I'm passing this up.
I'm passing the torch right back to you. No givesies, backsies.
Whatever you pass to me, bounces off of me, it sticks back
Seth,
to you.
Okay. Now I'm more interested in stuff now. Seth,
thank
who
you.
Are you taking to prom?
I'm taking Zach. Zach is my recent romantic interest.
Okay.
He used to be the Black Power Ranger.
Okay, anyways, now Madison, tell us.
Amber?
My date's sitting right next to me.
Who is it?
Ashley.
Ashley, who are you taking?
Maddie, who are you taking? Quit passing the buck and answer the question.
Y'all don't know him.
Doesn't matter if we know him.
I know him.
I know, but y'all don't know him,
I know him.
I don't care.
Anyways, we're getting off course.
Okay, anyway, yes.
Let's out
Maddie. Other than prom,
Maddie is taking Lance.
Okay, I'm taking over. Other than prom, we also have Pride coming up, and Hatch.
We weren't done with prom.
Before we move on, where is prom going to be held?
Thank you.
Magnolia Ballroom.
You jump.
Prom will be held at the historic Magnolia Ballroom.
Like always.
Okay, well, I didn't want to...
It starts It starts at 7 p.m. on Friday, June 8th at the Magnolia Ballroom, which is located at 715 Franklin Street. I guess, what is the zip code for that area?
I don't know. Houston?
Is the zip code important?
Well, what if they want to MapQuest it?
Anyway.
Can we talk about prom now?
No, back to prom. Okay. I just wanted y'all to all go first so I could have a lot more time to talk about me.
That's the only like reason something I would say.
That's the only reason why I take passing the buck around on everything. Anyway, I bought my dress last Saturday. $120-something. The shoes are $65. Ow. And it's going to look great. So you better all show up.
What color is it?
You'll see then.
I know what color it is.
I know what color it is.
Anyways, if anybody's spoiling it,
no.
I really want to talk about Pride Parade.
Because there's more to prom than just prom court.
I understand.
Okay, let's talk about Pride. Okay.
We're going to go back and forth. Hatches all over. Hatches everything.
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't want to confuse people.
June 23rd. Pride. Hatches going in the Pride Parade.
As we do every year.
Last year I messed up.
Last year I was in a convertible throwing out beads.
No, I almost walked downtown. Me and my friend, we went the opposite direction. I swear we walked 3 miles and we realized it wasn't the right place.
Weren't you with us?
No. It was me and a friend of mine. And we walked. We missed it. We were on the sidelines.
Pride Parade is not in downtown.
No.
Not yet, anyway.
They should not move it to downtown.
Speaking of,
ever.
Who is Pride Parade for anyways? Because there's been so much debate over where we're going to have it, what we're going to do, why there are rules, why there are regulations. We really have start to have to question and remember why we have pride in the first place. Because we get to behave all the time. For me, in my opinion, and this is very, very opinionated, I think, no, we are behaved all the time. I know I am. And on Pride Parade, I know. I'm so innocent. Please don't joke.
Guys.
So I think Pride Parade is an excellent time to express ourselves and to celebrate what Pride was created for in the first place. What do y'all think about it?
I think that's what it is, but where are we getting with the... I know we're talking about Pride, but where do we jump in that Pride's not being celebrated for what it's for?
Because there's been so much debate, because there are no new rules, they're thinking about moving Pride.
Well, before we... I don't want to keep bringing up old dirt, because right now, as it is, it's settled that right now it's Dana Montrose.
True.
And if we keep going this, I mean, I don't want to keep occupying time with old dirt. Let's talk about what's going on with Pride.
But just
how we're gonna
because
enjoy
the decision has been postponed to move it to downtown does not mean that it will never, ever be moved to downtown. They can still do it. So it is important that we still talk about it and voice our opinions on how much we do not want it to be moved to downtown, because it is a GLBTQIA event and it should stay within the GLBTQIA community in the Montrose area where our home is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you.
I was just saying, because we've talked about this on the last radio show, and I was going to try to bring more stuff into this radio show. That's the whole reason I'm saying
I was talking about the rules.
Oh, sorry about that.
You feel me? Like, in a way, I almost feel like we're being censored. And I know that's really, really opinionated, but if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
It almost is like they're... controlling our right to free expression. And if we can't express who we are fully, then we're not being true to ourselves, are we?
But hold up. Where do we get how they're violating our rights to express it? All they were talking about, we're moving it to downtown.
No, dress code.
What's the other rules?
No, dress code.
As far as I knew, it was mostly the same thing. They don't want you to get too vulgar.
They don't want it to get too vulgar.
Right.
And I'm all for that.
What's your definition of vulgar? Because people's
vulgar
definitions are different.
Vulgar is revealing clothes, and that goes for any gender.
Right.
Okay?
I mean, specifically for a man, they don't want them to be in chaps with their butt cheeks hanging out.
That would be public nudity, in fact.
No, it wouldn't. Well, there's rules for public nudity, and
that's
you're wearing chaps and buttless chaps. As long as you have an inch strip, it's considered street legal, and you can wear that. You will see people who attend the parade dressed like that, and there's nothing illegal about it. But Pride Parade has set goals and standards and guidelines so that
I believe the idea is that the face that we present to the rest of the world is sanitized, that we are GLBT regular people just like you. Or just
and
like
how
you.
Did that work? I remember when we had the marches outside the, where they did the whatever it is in Independence Hall and everything, and they were dressed normal. It wasn't until ACT UP or whatever, the people that really got up in Stonewall and everybody got out in your face and showed we weren't just like you, we were different, that anything started happening in the first place. So if we're trying to censor it and be like people, then that's taken away from the history no matter what.
No, I feel you. And we definitely didn't get here because we were all the same. We have made all the progress we have because of our differences and our unity within that. May I ask your opinion about that?
Sure.
What do you think about the dress code from an adult perspective?
Oh, Lord, that's a good question. I mean, I see the point because when the nightly news will cover the Pride Parade, and they cover it all across the nation, they will pick the most outrageous people to highlight that parade and the events of the parade. And the message of Pride Parade will get lost in that extreme example of what GLBT is or what the GLBT Pride Parade is. But I tend to be more in favor of just letting people have fun. It's a party. It's a GLBT party. We're celebrating, to some extent, our freedom as a people. Not to overstate it, but, I mean, Stonewall was a significant event in our history. And if people want to party and have fun, let's not lose that aspect of pride.
For one day out of a year, one day we get to march down. I mean, I remember my first Pride Parade. I thought it was phenomenal that we could actually march our pride floats and people down Westheimer. Like, that, to me, is just incredible. Maybe that's naive, maybe just because I haven't, like, seen the world. But one day out of a year, I think it's totally cool to maybe not behave as much as we already have to in public, because it's not like we don't censor and sanitize everything. I know when people, allies, or people who just want to know, and they aren't a part of this community, I will use my best speech, and I will put forth so much positivity to make sure they get the correct impression.
Right.
But it's hard being good all the time. And so I think for one day out of the year, I think it'd be fun just to wear what you want to wear and express yourself and really celebrate who you are.
At least just, like, let us wear, you know, street legal stuff. You know, people who come and watch the parade, let us dress like them. You know? If what the law will allow, I think we should be able to wear. Or not wear.
What do you think about the concern that the nightly news and or 700 Club will show clips of the most outrageous examples of those?
Well, you know,
they're going to find that no matter what.
That is going to happen no matter what. They will, if they cannot find it, they will create it. But within that little, I don't know how you would, what's the word? Within that action, they are serving to promote how biased they are as well.
Except a lot of straight America out there, they're not attending the GLBT Pride parades, so they don't see that. And some people actually believe they don't know any GLBT people, which is amazes me, because their neighbors, their family members, their coworkers, they know gay people, but for some reason they don't think they do, because they're not out or whatever.
Somebody so far, you care and love knows somebody gay.
Sure, I think that's true, but if people are out, they don't know they know people who are gay. But what about those people sitting at home who don't attend these pride parades and think that they don't know anyone who's gay or lesbian or bisexual? What about them?
Well, if you watch any pride for anything, like for any group, whether it be conservative or liberal, any type of people, if it's a celebration, they're acting, you know, crazy. They're having fun.
Something to celebrate.
Yeah, like, you know, Southern people, when they're celebrating, like, country music, they are totally country.
Uh-huh.
And they're totally going all out. Is that really what, you know, the South is like? Not exactly. But because they're celebrating their roots, their background, who they are, Southern, country, whatever you want to be, that gives them a right just for one day out of the year, you know? So I think with anything, you know, and if you're going to look at that, and who believes stuff on the media anyways? I mean, I know I take everything with a very, very analytical mindset.
Sure.
You would be surprised how many people believe what they hear on TV.
Sure. Well, people believe what they want to believe.
Sure. But is that our problem? I mean, just to pose a really good question, should we behave on that one day out of the year for that one segment just so we can look good to the rest of America? Is that important? Is that how we're going to reach? Does that really have any effect on people's opinions?
Are we going to let let the society have that much control over us?
Well, does it make it less fun if a guy can't wear buttless chaps or a girl can't wear a sheer revealing shirt or dress, or a drag queen can't show as much skin as she possibly wants to? Does that make it less fun? Does that take away from the enjoyment of the Pride Parade?
No, but it takes away from creative self-expression.
You know, the way I see it, I think about it, you know, that's the, like they're saying, that's the one day of the year we can have fun, and no matter what, we have done our share. I mean, even if I showed up in Pride, like I'm thinking about, in booty shorts and everything, that's not going to take away all the work I've done with Hatch and with the radio show and everything else.
Right.
If I show up in a tube top with booty shorts just because it's Pride, I don't think it takes
that.
Away.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, please, I mean,
seriously, it's like the weekend.
No, hold up. It's Pride. If I want to wear booty shorts and walk next to Merlin who's wearing a pan outfit, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Can we please just call them Daisy Dukes instead
okay.
of booty shorts?
Well, I think you have a very good point because, you know, you do a lot of activism. You're very responsible. You've got a great reputation behind you, especially affiliated with Hatch. And as same as me. But if you catch me on a Friday or Saturday night, I'm at South Beach dancing on the speakers, you know? And that doesn't take away from my Monday through Friday attire as any, you know, quote unquote normal person does. You know, straight, gay, whatever you are. You know, when you have those times to have downtime or to celebrate something, you know you're going to. Everyone celebrates New Year's. You know, I mean,
I was at work.
And usually the majority of people, no matter if you're, you know, what minority or what group you classify yourself in, you're going to celebrate certain things. So that's how I view Pride.
Wow, I mean, you guys sound really passionate. There have been years where youth have questioned the relevancy of a Pride parade.
It's really tough. It's really tough to think, you know, what's the point when people, when they're using things against us, they go, well, you know, on this day, you were wearing something totally radical. It was like, dude, I mean, I'm sure you weren't at once. I mean, am I too wrong for thinking that?
I mean, you know what? You can't go toward your future and know your future if you don't know and understand your past. And no matter what, South Beach, Pride Parades that came before us, everything has been our past. It's going to be our past. It's going to be our present. It's going to be our future. So whether Seth shows up in buttless chaps, I show up in booty shorts, Chris shows up in a...
Dancing on speakers.
Dancing on speakers that are rolling across the ground, and Ashley and Amber are on the back of a truck. You can't barely even see them but the top of their heads. It doesn't matter.
Well,
we're all people. Brendan's still in there and Daisy Dukes with high heels on. It doesn't really matter. As long as we're who we are and celebrating it. Be you, be who, be ever.
It's a day for us to be us.
It's a day to be gay.
Yeah.
Or not just gay. It's a day just for all of our community.
Or
just
forever.
To be
for whoever.
Ourselves.
It's a day to have it your way.
We've talked about tradition and the importance of knowing your history. There may be people listening who don't know the story behind Pride Parade, why we have it a particular day, and what event we're celebrating.
Oh, speaking of the day, do you know that they were actually considering moving it back?
Well, you know, yes. Or actually moving it forward. I think
September.
Moving it in September.
Well, forward.
Taking it out of Montrose and moving it to September. And I think that's a good topic. I think that's a good thing
no.
to talk about. In terms of where you guys feel
I think
it should
it's
be in
absolutely
house.
Ludicrous to even think about that.
Well, why? Why is it ludicrous?
Why? Because it's our community's event. You know, downtown, it's number one, you know, parking situations, you know, where it is now, it's easy to find parking spaces, you know, it's right around the community. Businesses, they benefit from it because people can go right in, buy drinks, buy food, whatever, while they're watching the parade, go and use the restroom. It's downtown. People are going to have to walk, you know, a mile from where they parked. They're going to have to buy all their stuff ahead of time.
Okay, but if we're talking about moving the date, now... Given, I don't know the exact details of the history. However, as a community reflecting so much, you know, like progression and who we are, can we at least, are we totally stubborn to the idea of changing the date if it means that we can still have it in our homeland, be who we want, dress how we want, I mean, just to pose an opposing opinion, are we too stubborn just to move the date of a
celebration?
Let's talk
about why we have the date that we
have. Because you know what? Stonewall's an important event.
Well, let's talk about what Stonewall was. Who here knows the story of Stonewall?
Because Stonewall is the hairpin drop heard around the world. It's our Boston Massacre kind of thing. Although it was drag queens instead of redcoats or whatever
drag
it was.
And hustlers.
I mean, it's whenever everybody finally stood together and kicked Petula Gullius Maximus to do this.
Well, actually happened? Tell me what happened on Stonewall.
Well, Stonewall was a bar, nightclub kind of thing, and mainly low-down kind of, as far as I've gathered, it was kind of a rat hole. But it was our rat hole and everything. And
a place for us to be us.
Well, the police at the time were known to harass gay establishments.
Mm-hmm.
They were known to go in, raid, pull IDs. People were open to public humiliation.
Well, you also have to remember, at that time, it was illegal to serve an open homosexual
alcohol.
Yeah,
yeah. And that was part of the reason why they raided it. It's actually still against the law in New York to have to play music without a cabaret license. So if you don't have a cabaret license which allows you to dance, you have no need for having music. So that factored into with the raid there, and because of the, you know, all the illegal stuff of just being there, not any specific activity, most of those bars were run by mafia personnel, mm-hmm. the mob, and you know, usually they had someone tell them when there was going to be a raid, because you would come in, harass the people. And back then, the big cities had the police blotter. Unlike, you know, nowadays it's the smaller towns that have the police blotter or the community papers. So they were going around with these people, and next thing you know, in the newspaper, John Smith of 1234 Main Street was arrested for, you know, dancing in a gay bar.
While wearing lipstick.
Yeah. You know, Frank Smith was arrested because he wasn't wearing three articles of clothing that were germane to his gender. It was that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, another significance about that date, a huge gay icon had
Judy Garland?
Her funeral was that day.
Hence the reason that's what helped, they think, inspired everybody to really stand up, because they were peed off. They were already upset that she had passed away.
Yeah, emotions were high.
A jukebox was playing a Judy Garland song, and when the cops showed up, they did not want to turn the jukebox up, and I think that's what started it. Like, that's what started the whole clash.
Well, people were just fed up, and when you think about it and everything, at that time, who cared about the cops and everything else? When you're getting harassed, and this is if you're straight, gay, anything, if you're getting harassed, you're not going to put up with crud too long.
Yeah, but it was the straw that broke the camel's back, because they wouldn't let our community mourn one of our biggest icons.
I think that was a part of it, but I don't think that was the big reason. I think we finally reached that point.
The straw that broke the camel's back.
And so you have drag queens and hustlers who, for whatever reason, weren't seen as being the ideal representatives of the GLBT community at that time, or ever, maybe, I don't know, being on the forefront of bringing out GLBT rights and our ability to be who we are.
Hey, a person I would never want to fight would be a drag queen. They have the attitude of a woman and the strength of a man.
They aren't straight. Get it right.
So that's the history behind the Stonewall riots and why we have pride on the day we do.
Which is a shame they want to move it.
Part of the argument is it's hot in Houston.
It's hot in Houston 98 days.
In September it's hot.
Right.
It's hot in Houston 362 days out of the year.
And actually, statistically speaking, September is one of the hottest months in Houston.
Well, and I know we moved the Pride Parade from
noon or during the midday to a nighttime parade,
mm-hmm.
which, speaking as a person who was involved with it during the day, it was a great move. I think the nighttime parade is very nice.
Well, Stonewall happened at night. It should be at night anyway. I like that part.
And plus, you know, you get all these lights and little festive things on the floats. Make it a lot more fun.
Well, I mean, you also have to look at September is when we start getting the busy season for hurricanes. But, you know, the main thing of what we're, you know, the main reason, you know, why moving it to September into downtown is, you know, all the other parades in Houston are in the downtown area. And, you know, they just want to try to move everything together. And, you know, basically from what I understand, you know, the city asked us, you know, let's move to the downtown. But there's no incentives for us.
Well, I think they're also saying that they can put together a nice festival area. Because right now, with the parade being in Montrose, there really is no area for there to be a Pride Festival or there to be a carnival-like setting or for organizations and nonprofits to really showcase who they are.
You know, that's one thing I don't understand. They, they say that they can get sponsorship if they move it downtown. We have 100,000 people... is the alleged number. We're going to say 100,000 people show up for this parade. If we can't get sponsorship for 100,000 people to come into this parade, then what is moving downtown going to do?
It's going to give us a Starbucks sponsorship, I guess.
You know.
There's Starbucks in Montrose.
Why, it makes no sense to me. I mean, you know, we've had some sponsors in the past, you know. They got upset, they left, and no one else has stepped up, you know. I don't see where moving into downtown is suddenly going to make, you know, Continental or Chase or, you know, any of the other companies step forward and say, hey, I'll be glad to write you a big check just because you moved downtown.
Right.
You know, just because you're willing to put a grandstand in front of our big building we've got down here, it makes no sense, you know, to put it down there. Plus, you're also you've got competition with several different sports that are going on at that time in September.
Mm-hmm.
And all the stadiums are, you know, the stadiums are in that area. Last year when we did when the Pride Parade occurred last year, the Astros were playing a home game and the Comets were playing a home game.
Hmm.
And the parade route is in that general area. And when they're in town and they're playing, parking goes from free on the weekends to $20.
Yeah, that's right.
You're talking about no shade whatsoever. And you've got, in that area, you're going to have food vendors who are price gouging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have it here in the Montrose, and if you want a bottle of water, you can go into the Valero, you can go into Walgreens, you can go into Kroger, you can go into Mickey D's and get yourself a soda or a water for the same price you did the day before and the same price you're going to do the week later. And you're not going to be paying $3 for a little six and a half, you know, a bottle of water that's, you know, they bought at the 99-cent store for a six pack. So, you know. It's something that has been discussed, but it's one of those things that, you know, everyone now thinks, hey, we won, but next year, they're talking, that's when they're going to move it. You know, the festival, you know, the fact that they have, the festival they have right now that they charge for is pitiful.
Well, one of their arguments is it's because of the location.
To charge $10 for the, you know, I mean, when you move it downtown, how's it going to be any better?
Well, I think the line of thinking is that you'll have a bigger area for the festival, because right now there really is nothing. There is no area that lends itself for that. And now it's all under concrete. It's hot. There's no parking around the festival area currently.
How's it going to be different moving it downtown?
That park where they have the 4th of July fireworks display?
I mean, I remember, Eleanor Tinsley Park.
Isn't that the carnival in there? That area.
Yeah, I mean, they've done festivals before down at Eleanor Tinsley Park, from what I understand.
That's the name of it.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like that's a good idea.
I mean, that's where they've done them in the past.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's a plenty big enough area.
But, you know, by moving everything downtown, like I said, you're in concrete, there's no shade, you've got the gouging, you know. At least then you have an excuse for charging $10 admission
right.
to that section. But I really didn't see it as overly crowded in there.
No, I didn't.
In the festival area, you know, you've got the one group that, you know, paid for, you know, the big tent for the nonprofits to sit in, which, you know, was a little packed because there was a lot of nonprofits taking advantage of that. But, you know, the other businesses you get, you start moving it downtown, you're going to be pricing them out even more than the actual being in the parade is pricing people out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, that's
just a big nuisance.
Man, I mean, it kind of dilutes, you know, the special place that we have here in Houston. You know, Houston, we're the fourth largest city in the country, but we get treated like we're, you know, backwater and rural. You know, something happens in Dallas, they get coverage. You know, Houston, you know, it takes a crazy woman drowning her kids or a woman running over her husband or, you know, an astronaut putting on a diaper and driving to Florida to get any attention in Houston. And this, you know, just by taking here what our traditions are in our respects and trying to get rid of it, just shows how little, you know, people of Houston care for what goes on here and how everyone else treats us.
Well, that sounds like a good reason to keep it where it's at.
Mm-hmm. We get 100,000 people showing up here. You know, it's not like we're going to get TV coverage. You know, you get two stations covering the largest parade in Houston. They're showing the same parade at the same time. Two stations cover it, and that's the rodeo parade. And we get, you know, a 5-minute clip of somebody standing out in front of Mary's for our shows.
But we reach 100,000 people, right?
And we're the second. The Pride Parade is the second largest parade in the city of Houston.
That's sad.
So, on this complete downer, let's kick it up a little. Let's step out for a moment. Take a little music. Regroup, recover. In honor of Hatch Prom coming up, I believe it's a little bit appropriate song. Another boy, weird. You know, last week I was playing all women's music. Now I'm playing cute guys' music. Hey,
ooh. Ow. Hey, ooh.
Kevin Cahoon, and Could I Have This Dance?
Aww.
You're listening to After Hours.
I'm not dancing again.
I have
for those going to the Hatch prom next weekend. Can I have this dance?
No.
I like that song. It's, you know, it starts off with the traditional version, then it gets real punk, and then it kind of gets that hokey country at the end.
Thank you for that.
After that little emo part where it's like, you sure you don't want to dance? You look like you want to dance.
Please! I got a dance coupon!
One of the fun things about the Hatch prom is they'll play music you won't hear at any other prom.
My humps.
Anywhere.
My humps.
Yeah, they'll My actually humps are play on good fire. Music. It won't be like, you know, all that stuff where half of it is out of his hump.
If we play My Humps at the prom, I'm gone. Seriously.
No, actually, you're not leaving. You will watch me do the dance that's on the video.
You know what song I want them to play at prom? And I'll be perfectly honest. Britney Spears' I'm Not a Woman. I'm Not a Girl. Not Yet a Woman. That's the best song I want to have them play.
I want them to play Let's Dance by David Bowie. I wanted them to play it last year, and they did not. I love that song. I love that man.
Okay, well,
he is a gay icon that's not usually recognized. I mean, the man is a bisexual, and if it weren't for him, some of the artists that we have nowadays would not be able to dress and look the way they do.
Well, since this was prom and that we brought back into, we decided that the girls are going to take over the show now, and we're going to talk about the first, this being our first prom and everything else, which is, I was going to do earlier, but we went to Pride, which is great, but since prom is the next event coming up, I wanted to bring us all back to prom, and it's the first prom for
me. This is not my first prom, it's my fourth one, but it's the first one where I'm not going stag. That's a little
depressing. Did you just in drag one year?
No.
Oh.
I had long hair last year, but I wasn't in drag.
I thought
this was going to be girls.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, I was mistaken. I forgot the girls are speaking.
Oh, maybe it's just the femmes.
I prefer to think of myself as androgynous.
But, now, so, since I guess I'll bring the floor in is, like I was saying, I bought my dress, $120. Yes, thank you. And I bought the shoes, which were $65, and shawl $20. And guess what? That was only $200, and I still have $200 more I'm planning to spend as soon as I get my check Wednesday. So it's going to be $400 by the time it's all done.
Oh, God, I wish I had time to shop. It's like there's so much to get, but unfortunately, you know, I've got classes from like 8 to 5. If it's 8 to 7, depending on the day it is, and it's nuts. And this is my first prom that I'm going to, and it's going to be cool, and it's going to be fun. And I actually have a date who's not, like, keeping... who's, like, actually cool with me. This is, like, mind-blowing.
Why do you think I'm so... Everybody keeps asking me, why do you want to... I say, you know what? Every girl dreams of her prom. You know? Every girl dreams of her prom. And you know what? Besides being gay or anything, for us trans women... this is like our big event. I mean, I'm already going Monday to schedule my appointment to get my nails done on Thursday so I can have one for prom. And I've already told people when we go to decorate for prom, I ain't doing nothing because if I break a nail, somebody's going to get an arm broken. That's just the way I feel about it.
I'm not too worried about the whole nail breaking thing. I'm more like, you know, because I'm just slightly, I'm considered femme, but I guess I'm more androgynous. Who knows? I mean, but honestly, it's like, I'm just worried about being able to dance, because I can't dance.
Neither can I.
I can
stand next
to you. You want me to teach you?
Don't. They got them on camera.
Would you charge?
They got them on camera.
I can teach you, and I won't charge.
You can go see what he did on camera.
Because my milkshake does bring all the boys to the yard.
But I don't like boys.
Yeah, I bet you didn't know that,
well,
did you?
Chris is your date.
Chris is an exception. Everybody likes Chris.
Well, I don't want to bring...
I thought everybody hates Chris. Oh, wait, that's a show. That's
terrible.
Oh, by the way, Chris had to leave us, so if you're not hearing her voice...
And Ashley and Amber.
Right.
Yeah.
We had some people had to leave.
But, so, yeah, it's funny is Hatch has two presidents, and they're both transgendered. Well, what's even more funnier is the two co-presidents... happen to be male to female and female to male, and we're actually bringing our opposites as our dates, which completely makes Hatch Prom seem fantastic and enthusiastic. I mean, I'm coming with an F to M, and Chris is coming with an M to F. No offense.
Oh, no one from my school listens to this show anyway.
Oh, well, who cares about your school? Be yourself. Until that one person walks up and goes, Ellie, can I have your autograph?
I want to talk about me some. You keep talking about your $125 dress.
We're going to get to you in a second. So I got the nails plan, everything else. And so I'm hoping everything goes smooth. And you know what? I have been taking my time at work to not fall, to not get sunburned, and not get any cuts on me. Because you know what? I want to look perfect and everything. So, Ellie, your turn. And then we'll go to Seth.
Well, my plan is to, like I said earlier, may have not heard me. I was thinking about just bringing one of my old guy suits and walking in that and, you know, just casually slipping into something more comfortable midway through. And, you know.
No lingerie, please.
Well, you only
wish.
It can
be under your clothes.
Actually, one of our hatchling friends might be wearing lingerie to the prom.
Really? Okay.
Not that revealing, but there will be alterations.
You know, I don't want to get busted for any crimes here. I'm over 18, so...
So am I. I'm 20.
You can wear a dress to the prom. It's perfectly fine.
Oh, no. Even though I'm an MTF, it's like dresses are still... I don't know. It's...
Oh, hell no. I wanted my prom dress.
You're in a pantsuit.
That's what I'm doing. You know, I've got... two different ones picked out, you know, one for each gender, and I hope that will, and, you know, it's of course not very controversial here, but I try that at school.
That relived my stress. Jeez, I thought Ellie might have taken the fire away from me, but at least I know everybody's still waiting to see what I'm wearing. Thank you.
Well, that's the great thing about Hatch Prom is you can be whoever you are, or you can fantasize and be someone you're not. It's all right.
I have to go get a new suit. I want to wear a suit. My old suit is way too big because I used to wear a size 48 waist. I am now a 31.
Whoa.
That's 17 inches of empty space I cannot fill. So even if I were to get those...
Pack your date in.
Actually, I talked with him about that. I was like, you know what? We could both go in my suit. But, and that probably wouldn't be too good. But anyway, I went to my tailor and they said, you know, if we altered these for you, the pockets would overlap. Like, the front pockets would overlap and the back pockets would overlap and they'd all overlap with each other. And you know what? We could just take all that fabric that we took off and make another pair of pants. So I'm just going to go buy a new suit.
Good. That's a good idea.
I don't know what color shirt I'm going to wear. I don't know what color tie I'm going to wear. I might get some new shoes, although I do love my Calvin Kleins. And they are already broken in, and they are perfect for dancing because they're just slippery enough to where I won't trip over myself. And I love shoes. And I don't know what my date's going to be wearing. I hope he wears something very... I hope he looks nice.
The only tragedy for this is there's only two genders to pick from.
Oh, no, no,
there
no.
There are as many genders officially. In the world as people.
No. Not at the Hatch Prom. You can be any gender you want
I
to.
Know, but that's what I'm saying. The tragedy is...
It's not well gendered, because I don't know what a well gender would be.
Huh?
It was a made-up phrase.
Were you?
Maybe I've just had a little too much. I've been out too much tonight.
But yeah,
I've had too much caffeine.
Anyway, so okay, we're back to the girls now.
No, I want to talk about my date.
Well, we were waiting for you, but
you took over.
Seth, tell us about.
Tell us about your date. We're waiting.
All right. Well, like, I don't know what he's going to wear. I don't know if he's going to go casual or if he's going to dress up like I will. All
he's
I know is
up.
That if he does go casual, when we get our picture taken, it will look tacky because I'll be all like in a suit and he'll be all like casual. That won't look good. But he is going to look good no matter what he wears because he is so cute. So very cute. And I know he's listening right now. And I hope he's blushing like crazy. And actually, we started dating like not that long ago, really. But it's already looking so fantastically.
Mm.
So it sounds like this is something you guys have you've really been looking forward to.
Oh, man, I have, because my past three proms, I went stag. I never had anybody to dance with, and I was always bored. Except last prom when I was voted prince. That was pretty cool.
You were voted prince? That's great.
And those little... The little chocolate rocks that they make at the chocolate bar that I talked about earlier, they were in the basket of, like, candy and stuff that I got for being voted prince. Those are so good. I should go to the chocolate bar and get some this week. They are so good.
Why'd you go stag?
Because I didn't have a date.
Hold up, what's stag before I go?
Stag by yourself, not having a date.
Okay, well, I didn't know that stag means something else to me, but okay.
But yeah, I went stag. My junior prom, my senior prom, and then last year, the hatch prom I went to.
Okay. I had the same problem. It's basically, well, not exactly the same. The last dance I went to was the global dance, and unfortunately, my date was, I think my date was a little weird on me, but, you know, for once, a non-weird date at a dance, and it's going to be totally awesome. And I've never seen Chris in a suit, so this is going to be like a new experience.
Oh man, the suit Chris is gonna wear is so cute. But
more than usual.
That reminds me of something. The high school I went to, I was not. Part of the reason I didn't have a date was, number one, I was like the only gay guy there that was out, and then number two, they would not allow me to dance with another guy at the prom. It was against the rules. So on my senior prom, for the last dance, my best friend Dustin danced with me, and the photographer who was there was like taking 30 pictures of us, and actually he was taking a lot of pictures of me that night. So, and he was really cute. I should have got his number.
You know, I was about to suggest, if you did get his number, you should have, you know, you've got a fallback date, possibly.
That was like 2 years ago. But I don't need a fallback date. The one I got is much better and much cuter.
So was it more like, if I can't ask who I want to prom, then I won't ask anyone? Was that the decision that you made?
No.
Because I know a lot of GLBT youth will invite the opposite sex just so they can have a date. So
yeah, well, part of it was, you know, since that rule was enforced, the ones I didn't want to take a date if I wouldn't be able to dance with them. You know, they would have kicked us out. And then another part of it was I could not find a date.
Well, mine was exactly that way. I didn't go to prom for the simple fact that I wasn't going to be who I was. I mean, I wanted to wear the dress like everybody else and everything, which is why prom's more special to me now, because I feel like I'm getting to wear the dress I've been wanting to wear forever. But that's the reason. And plus, I knew I wouldn't have a date, and every girl that goes to prom deserves to have a date.
Very true.
Who cares about the guys having one? They could be on the loser wall, as it's called, but all the girls need to have a date.
Excuse me.
You know,
I had all the girls dancing up on me in high school, okay?
That's because they knew you wouldn't grab them.
Well, wait, this is Seth. I mean...
See? Thank you.
No, grab. Yeah,
that's what I meant.
Oh.
I mean, how long have you known him?
A while.
And Ellie has known me not that long, and she already knows about this.
Okay, well, let's, before we worry about grabbing around here, Ellie, we might want to scoot over. But anyway, so, yeah, it's everybody's for this prom, and I know, like me, I'm anxious because I'm getting the corsage, and that makes me enthusiastic. But you know what? I'm thinking we need to go ahead and maybe kind of sort of start wrapping this up. So I wanted to bring a few more announcements in real quick. June 8th, this Friday, Stairway to Heaven. Stars, okay? Be stars, reach it. We're just going to give you a way to get there, which is the stairs. And it's at the historic Magnolia Ballroom at 715 Franklin at Milam. If you come by the Hatch meeting Sunday night, we'll have maps there to get you there. And everything. It's from 7 p.m. to midnight. It's free if you're 13 to 20. And tickets are $25 if you're 21 and up. If you are all invited and everything. No one is ever too old for this rite of passage. Friday, June 8th is prom night, like we said. See, although the Hatch U coordinates these events on their own, the prom is open to everyone. And everything. The whole reason prom exists is for any of us that have not felt like comfortable going to our own proms. And everything. Like me and Ellie were saying, this is our first prom. And everything. We're ecstatic. We want it to be all great and stuff. And I know I want to because I feel like a Hollywood actress knowing that everybody's waiting to see what I'm wearing. Sorry. And everything.
If I was asked earlier, I would have skipped summer school just to get ready for this.
Well, heck. Everybody asked me at work, why are you so happy? I said, you know what? Nothing can absolutely ruin my week because you know what? I got prom coming up. And I tell everybody. But anyway, there's the Hatch prom and everything. And we mentioned all our sponsors. And we'd like to send an extra thanks out to everybody that's made a donation and everything. And welcome you for doing that. And congratulations. Thank you and everything. And everything. So, if you want, before we go, if you want more information about prom or pride, which is coming up June 23rd, please go ahead and call the Hatch line at 713-529-3590. And everything, in which if you dial extension 2, you'll get all the events, and then extension 1 will give you Deb Murphy, and extension 3 will give you our program coordinator, Bill Alexander. Our other things are hatchyouth.org, which is our website, and the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, 713-529-3211. Other than that, I hope everybody gets to come to prom and vote me prom queen, and I guess it's time to go.
Good night. Good night. Weekend.
Oh, why is that?
Hold up.
The other thing is if you want to join us during Pride Parade in March with Hatch, if you're between 13 and 20, you're welcome to join us for that day.
Yes, and that would be fun. And you might even see me in booty shorts walking next to Pan. And I just got to look for that.
Marilyn, you just killed Pam. Thank you, Hatch.
You're welcome.
Down here. Some I haven't heard in a while.
I just did your boyfriend.
Wrong band.
Oh.
Thank you for playing.
Oh, Frustrated Housewives.
Yes. So, let's go to the music. Frustrated Housewives, I Know What Boys Like.
Yeah.
Hold on. Be helpful if I... I've got to fiddle the knob first.
Ooh.
They want to touch.
that nyeh. Little childish thing at the end.
Childish for a child?
It must be time for the bisexuals.
No, not until I turn on their damn mics. Now it's time for them.
Well, thank you. It's nice to know we can be heard.
He started too early.
Okay. So, I'm David, also known as a Great Bear.
And I'm Robin.
We're here, we're the odd couple, talking about an odd subject. So, how you doing? You doing all right?
Yep.
Okay. General theme for tonight, we're, you know, like I said, we come on here about once a month, talk about this thing that, you know, called bisexuality and how it relates to, it's the B and the GLBT initials, and about what that is, and of course, you know, kind of telling people, yes, it's all right to be that way, it is valid, it is for real, is it, you know, for some people, yes, maybe it is a bridge or a transition state from straight to gay or whatever that means, or, I don't know, on rare occasion, maybe from gay to straight, who knows, but it is possible to be in a sort of middle ground and be comfortable with it. And for many people, that actually is a valid way of sexual expression. So, and the thing, kind of general theme for tonight, the idea, this, you know, one of these things I've been floating around the back of my head for some time to talk about, and I also found some articles via the internet to talk about the theme about, you know, sexual expression, how it can be kind of fluid, but it's not necessarily, you know, most people probably would tend to favor, you know, being straight or gay, but it's still possible to find, again, there's a middle ground there that, you know, some most people, you know, be honest with themselves. Probably can say, yeah, they're at least capable of being a little flexible. Doesn't mean they're wanting to go, you know, go from one side of the continuum to the other. We flip them back and forth, but it's still possible to. It's not as rigid as it tends to be promoted at times.
What you can say is not as black and white.
Right. There is some grayscales there. And the specific article that I found on the internet talks about this subject. Kind of a little quick story behind how I found the article. There's a website. Let's see. It's called, you know, it's www.threecirclesgraph.com. And the man, person who originally who has that website, goes by now, Antoni. Galarza. He has a website. He talks about bisexuality. It's kind of his own version of the various graphs or scales or whatever, like the Kinsey scale and Klein's sexual orientation grid and all that. And he kind of gives his own take on the subject. And on his website, there's a link to an article that was originally posted on a website called Bad Subjects. And the address for that is ecerver.org. It's a bad eserver.org. And this, apparently this website has been around for several years. This particular article I have here was originally published back in March, April 1993. But the website itself is still in place and tends to be, what I can tell about it, is a place where people can post things about, you know, their essays or whatever on various subjects, kind of maybe with a leftist leaning or progressive leaning. And this particular one, the article is called The Fantasies of Straight Men, Some Thoughts About Gays in the Military. And at the time that this was published, of course, you know, there was big fuss about, you know, President Clinton originally wanting to lift the ban on gay people serving in the various armed forces, which, of course, ended up leading to the so-called don't ask, don't tell. And the article, as it's written, kind of takes into account that subject. So there's some of the stuff in here, when I look, read through, I kind of forgotten it or don't recognize it because being several years ago. But there is still some basis here that I think is still valid and is worth talking about. What is sexuality? What is sexually attractive? And the article itself has kind of a male slant to it. The fellow who wrote, man who wrote it, even at the front, kind of admits that it does have a male slant to it. And it just kind of went, but in practice, there may be some things here that women might be able to relate to.
Mm-hmm. So,
but there is the crux, I don't know, the basic theme I picked up from it reading the article is a question about, you know, how fluid sexual expression can be, and even a subject concerned, you know, the debate about, you know, nature versus nurture, you know. Debate about, you know, say, is if someone is gay, is that somehow, were they born that way, or was it somehow some sort of, you know, social environment influence that caused that? And of course, I guess the assumption being, if that's the case, then somehow that influence is bad. And you know, my own thinking has been, you know, I asked that question, is sexual orientation determined by, you know, like I said, nature or nurture? And to me, the answer is yes. That the bottom line is there's a natural cause there, but that the what is perhaps inborn will still be influenced by social conditions, by, you know, environment, you know, people grow up in.
Yeah, it could be an environment, it could be parenting, it could be all kinds of things going on there.
Right. I mean, when I think about my own situation, you know, like I said, you know, I'm bi. I would say my nature favors being straight, but that I have something, a sense of an awareness that says, yes, there's more here than just, you know, what I've been taught. And the thing is, there is a lot I was, quote-unquote, taught just being in an environment that, you know, kind of, you know, just kind of said that, you know, somehow homosexuality is not desirable. And for practical purposes, I didn't even know there was such a thing as homosexuality until I was basically in my mid-teens when I, you know, heard the phrase. But at the same time, I still had picked up the messages, even, you know, unconsciously, just simply because that was in the environment. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I knew what gay was back in elementary school, but I didn't know what the crap bisexual was until I was way in my mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
I came out of the closet, I came out lesbian, because I didn't know that there was the first thing is bisexuality. But I mean, I was kind of like a tomboy. You know, I kind of favor being around boys a lot. I thought they had more fun, and I like getting dirty and stuff. I didn't too much care about being pretty and all that stuff like other girls were. So I don't know if that has something to do with my parenting or anything like that. It's just kind of something that happened. But it mostly happened right around when my parents separated. You know, really got really strong after that. So maybe it has something to do with the parenting, but it was kind of like they didn't do it on purpose.
Right.
You know.
Well, would you say that there was something kind of at just who you are that can find another woman attractive as well as another a man attractive?
Well, I didn't really start noticing women until I got like in the sixth grade. And that's when I really started noticing. I guess puberty kicked in. Before
right.
then, it was more like, I just like being rough and stuff, you know.
Okay.
And I find that it was more fun being like a guy. And sometimes when we used to play house, I used to play a guy. I hardly ever played a female role.
Okay. And in my case, I grew up, I said, I am male. That works for me. That's who I am. That's how I did things as a kid. And if anybody suggests I try to do anything that somehow was feminine, it's like, hell no. Because we're, you know, really raised a fuss. At the same time, I can sort of get where, you know, I'm being quite careful saying that all gay men go through this because I don't know. But I do have my cousin Terry who is gay. And I can remember playing with him, and most of the time we did boy stuff. Every now and then he would do something like, you know, go play with sister's dolls or do little things like that. And so, you know, of course, knowing what I know now, you know, my own studying the subject and having that awareness, I can kind of look at him and say, okay, yeah, for him, those signs were there early on. Whereas for me, well, like I said, you know, my basic nature is to be straight, but something in me has that awareness, and quite frankly, you know, I can occasionally find, look at a guy and say, ooh, look at him, and have a sexual feeling for him. And, of course, my own feelings there are sometimes strong enough where, hey, I'm going to want to act on him. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's the tomboy thing. Basically, I don't know. It has something to do with me being angry and stuff. So if I had to show some type of way of aggression, and I started maybe I was watching wrestling and all that stuff. Never really gotten in that stuff until my parents separated. And that was a good way for me to express myself, is to be more masculine.
Right.
And then I don't know, maybe I was like that already. It just came out more.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. But the man who originally wrote this article, Joe Sartelli, he's at, when I was looking through this website, this Bad Subjects website, I found he'd written a couple articles, both kind of related. The first one being Fantasies of Straight Men, Some Thoughts About Gays in the Military. That's the first article. He had another article called Rejecting the Gay Brain and Choosing Homosexuality. Now, for the record, Joe is gay himself. So as I'm reading the article, he probably may still... he's aware he can find women attractive. You know, he might prefer men most of the time for relationships, or whatever, but he is aware of his own being capable of being attracted to women. But the basic article, of course, like originally it was about, having gay men in the military, and of course talking about why it is that, there was and still is as such an objection to it. And it brings up some interesting theories, which I again find parallels in my own life, that you in a military situation, you got a group of men who are having to be very intimate with each other, are stuck, they're basically stuck together, we're having to work together, work as a team, so they're doing things like you having to eat together and get dressed, in the same barracks or place like that, taking showers together, whatever, and so you have what could be described, in a situation like this, or sort of homoerotic.
Yeah.
And, of course, this might, for the straight guys, could create some problems if they're, kind of get hung up on the idea about, could somebody be looking at me while I'm in the shower?
I mean, I find it interesting when in high school, I'm in the open shower in the open gym, locker room, we changing clothes. And I find it that us females, we would compliment each other, like, boy, she got nice boobs, she got nice this, but everybody is, quote-unquote, supposedly straight.
Right.
It wasn't like, oh, she's gay, all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's just a normal thing. Didn't realize that it wasn't happening in the locker room, male's locker room.
Whereas I can remember in junior high and high school in the gyms, if I saw some of the other boys in the locker room, saw they were nude, yeah, I tended to look. I didn't really stare, and of course, not knowing then what I know now, I did not interpret that as being that maybe I did find the guy attractive. It's just simply, he's nude and that got my attention.
It seems like one of those things where you couldn't just openly say something. It's like if you say something, you're bound to get beat up or something.
Right.
It's just the males kind of have this, the straight males kind of have this more of a threat than anything.
Right. Again, what Joe talks about in his article about, again, he's talking about, in a military situation, but again, this might be in any social situation. Guys, going to a gym,
mm-hmm,
or some other situation where there might be some group nudity. And that, these straight guys might find themselves feeling a little threatened. Well, the question is, why are they feeling threatened? One of the theories, of course, is that they're afraid some gay guy's going to come up and make a pass at them, and that kind of may be kind of what some refer to as a mirror. They're seeing themselves in a situation where, this gay guy's treating me the same way I sometimes treat women, as sex objects, and kind of want to make a pass at them. But what Joe, the guy in the article, was talking about, I kind of see this in my own experience, is that perhaps in that experience, a man who is otherwise straight might find himself kind of suddenly realize, maybe I am kind of interested. Kind of like, what would it be like? Or maybe that guy is kind of look nice. And this, of course, will be in conflict with the social messages that, that were picked up. And a lot of times those messages aren't very, very direct. I can say, growing up, nobody ever told me, going playing with another guy is bad. You're not supposed to do that. Nobody ever took me to sides that, this is a no-no. You're not supposed to do it. I just picked up from
the media and the culture and your parents. I mean, it's all over the place. You can't help. I mean, the first thing you notice is they got G.I. Joe for boys, and for girls they got Barbie.
Right.
That's not telling a message. What is it?
I remember reading an article once about how when G.I. Joe Reggie came out as a toy back in the mid-60s, there was some concerns about, you worry about boys playing with dolls? Well, keep in mind, though, these are soldier dolls.
What are action figures?
Yeah, right, yeah, and that made the other thing. From girls play with dolls.
Oh, no, dolls.
Boys play with the action figures.
I mean, it's this thing where I used to get my Barbies, and I used to, mark them up with camouflage and have them run around in the woods and stuff in the backyard. I mean, that was, these are Barbie dolls, but I had them like come back, It's wait a minute, you don't do that with Barbies. And there's a thing, I'm a comic book artist. And for years, when I was growing up, I would draw, like, the girls, they would draw, like, Mickey Mouse and the Looney Tunes, you know, the little cute little thingies. I was drawing Godzilla and the Incredible Hulk and stuff like this. Like, and my teachers say, why are you drawing that stuff? You're a girl, you don't draw that stuff. It's like, it's just more interesting.
Right.
You know, that type of stereo, that type of thing, messages, and they probably didn't mean to. It's just the way they've been taught.
Right. That was the normal. And I think about my own situation. Again, what we're talking about in the article is that some, and to me this makes sense, if, you know, some man, why would some men be homophobic? If they're otherwise straight and supposedly, you know, they're comfortable with women, comfortable with masculinity, why would they kind of be afraid of this other man who might find them sexually attractive? You know, I mean, if there's some guy, you know, some guy made a pass at me, I just said, no, I'm not interested. I'll just tell the guy no, and that'd probably be it.
I mean, even with women, most of the time, even straight women, a woman would make a pass at them. Oh, no, I'm not lesbian. I'm straight. Right. Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay. With a guy, they'd be ready to punch you out.
Right. Well, the theory is, what this guy talks about in this article, I've read elsewhere something similar to this about, is, like I said, for some of these, you know, quote-unquote straight men, to find someone, other man, find them sexually attractive, there may be something in them that's going to kind of get a little steam and say, oh, really? You know, they'll find myself being interested. It's like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. So they got that conflict between what they're feeling in the moment and what they're supposed to be doing or not doing. And, I mean, I have sensed that myself. I mean, that's part of my own struggle, accepting my gay side, is there's still that little bit of a thing that says, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this. Never mind that it feels good. I'm not supposed to be doing this. Men don't do this. And I think a lot of ways, it sometimes does have effect on my attraction to women, because I'll sometimes have the experience of seeing a woman I find attractive, but the attraction becomes so strong, it's like it's no longer, I'm not enjoying it. It's like, I'm seeing a woman, I find her attractive, and I sense something behind that that's kind of pushing it a little harder. I think it would otherwise be natural for me. So I have to maybe stand back and say, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah, and it's like, I dealt with some issues like that, like being attracted to women back in the day, and I was like, ooh, I like that. But then it's like, I was getting the same message saying, oh, you're not supposed to be doing it. But then it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, I mean, so I would not let anyone know that I was attracted to the women, you know, like that, until later.
Mm-hmm. The other thing which, you know, I'm looking at the article and there's something here that, I find myself struggling with trying to figure out, is that somehow it is supposed to be a true identity. Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about sexual identity and, you know, there's gay and straight and then there's people, you know, say they're bi and whatever. And again, we're back, you know, there is a thing that says, I picked this up, you know, this message, and find myself, you know, playing, you know, a little tape playing in my head, but somehow that the identity is fixed as well. Okay, you're gay or you're straight.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that, for some people, say, you know, say, oh, there's no such thing as bisexuality. Well,
yeah.
And I think, you know, sort of somehow it must be, what is your true sexual identity? Well, my true identity is kind of like, well, I can kind of find both sexes kind of interesting.
Come on, I mean,
you know?
I had a girlfriend for 3 years. And our little Friday night thing was going out to male strip clubs. It's like, wait a minute. Are we supposed to be lesbian here? Like, when we go into the strip clubs, you know, it's like, okay, there's something going on here.
Now, the other thing, again, picked up, just, you know, reading the argument, this is something I just picked up for myself, would be that, you know, for someone whose nature is to be gay, you know, again, this thing we're talking about is, you know, the social norm is heterosexual, that's what's supposed to be, you know, correct, that's what gets promoted, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Someone whose nature is to be gay can, of course, you know, in their attempt to claim their identity as a gay man or woman, whatever, and that is already be that way, could go the opposite extreme and not consider the possibility of, you know, again, some, you know, sort of fuzzy edges there about their own identity. But, you know, again, you know, a man who might otherwise, you know, be gay might still be able to see a woman and say, oh, she kind of looks nice and may have some feelings about her. It doesn't necessarily have to act on them. But there can be a kind of a reaction that says, oh, you're gay. Keep it, you know, right there. You know, no variations. I think,
yeah,
I think you tell me a girlfriend you had was kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. That's what broke us up, actually, because in a way she knew that I was bisexual. I mean, we were going to the strip clubs, and every now and then we would do some little naughty things with guys. And it's like, she knew that. But I was willing to let it go and go, okay, I accept it, and he knows I like guys too. I just kind of like didn't look at it as call it bisexuality. Right. I just kind of looked at it. She kind of didn't want to do that because she kept wanting, oh, it's either lesbian or gay. You can't go either way.
Mm-hmm.
And she would get mad at me and thought that I was going to run off with some guy. She didn't want to worry about going to run off with a woman. She was worried I was going to run off with some guy. She would come home and be all irritated about it. And I would ask her, what's wrong? And she would never say anything. She would keep it inside. And next thing you know, something else would happen. And she's cussing me out, or we getting into an argument or a blowout fight. And it's all coming from there. So it's basically killed the relationship. But, I mean, at least afterwards, when we came back to be friends, we figured it out. That's what it was.
Right. Now, talking about this, you know, I can talk about my own experience from a more, like I say, a more heterosexual perspective. So, as for from a gay perspective, I have to let you, well, let my gay brothers here talk about that if they want to hop in on this. But I think what y'all, you know, pick up in listening to people talking about, again, this kind of gets back to the issue, you know, what is, you know, what determines sexual behavior, and that there is a, you know, here, so, again, I've heard, you know, talking about in the article, I've heard this elsewhere about, you know, the question that there is a tendency for some people to say, well, you know, this person is born gay, there's nothing you can do about it, you know, please accept me as I am, and all that. And that, you know, there's maybe a little bit of a victim mentality we express there, whereas a lot of people are saying, you know, especially the more fundamentalist people, you know, they're, you know, anti-homosexual, but in a way they're acknowledging the possibility that maybe there is some flexibility there. Because, you know, they're assuming that, you know, that somehow somebody did, you know,
yeah.
They're working on the assumption, of course, that homosexuality is bad, and therefore somebody somehow...
As a matter of fact, Jim had just put the headphones on. You can ask him about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello.
Oh, like I was listening.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I was reviewing some new music that we just got.
Oh, all right. Oh. I might play some here in a minute.
Yes.
A few minutes. Again, what we're talking about, you know, the issue of, say, sexual flexibility.
Oh.
And this article, which I'm quoting, I've had some thoughts myself, is I'll hear some people, you know, talking about, you know, they're gay, and, you know, they were born that way,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you know, they're stuck with it, and it's like, and it's like, well, okay, well, if, you know, I'll hear what to me is sort of a victim mentality being expressed. And
yeah.
Yes, they probably had to deal with a lot of stuff and been suffering through it, but I still kind of find myself asking, well, if you could honestly change it, would you want to? You know, what do you want?
I don't think I would. No, I wouldn't, because I'm very happy being gay.
Right.
However, I have noticed in myself and other people that the older I get, I don't think that sexual orientation is static.
Right.
I think it is a lot more fluid
right.
exactly.
than we let on.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as you get older... the sex part is not as important as companionship.
Exactly. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I always liked the ideal of the bisexuality, the phrase that you fall in love with the person and you work
right.
the plumbing out later.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And that I can feel closer to women
uh-huh.
now than I have ever felt in the past. And in fact, my best friend right now is a woman.
Okay.
A lesbian, but
okay.
a woman.
Okay.
A woman. And she knows more about me than probably anybody else on earth. So there is that closeness. There is a love. Not necessarily a sexuality, but
right.
but I'm the gayest guy I know, but I've had sex with women, and
mm.
I'm not averse to playing with women
right.
in a group setting.
Mm.
I've done that very recently, as
okay.
a matter of fact.
Mm.
I'll be here interested in a blow-by-blow description. What happened?
It's just play. It's just play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
And Robin, you know that.
Oh yeah, it's just like me with guys. I have a lot of male friends. I love watch wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, WWE and stuff, and I like sports in general.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of gay men don't like that, but a lot of lesbians like that, and a lot of straight guys. I have a lot of straight male friends, you know, that I can kind of talk about men stuff with.
Yeah.
Then I have my female friends that I can talk about personal, you know, things. Like I have a problem with something, and I can go to one of my female friends and talk to them about it. This is the thing about us women, and some gay men too, that you can kind of get serious and get really deep, kind of like a therapy session almost type thing going on there. But my ex-roommate, Brian, he's bisexual, and me and him had a lot of therapy sessions. And I think it's because he's bisexual, he has that gayness that I can really get comfortable with him.
Well, what I've noticed, especially when I play with women, it's fun.
Right.
There's there's not the lust that I have with men.
Yeah.
But it's still satisfying, and I enjoy it, no matter what it is that I do with women.
Yeah. I put myself the same way, like, you know, my nature favor is, you know, like I said, lustful towards women.
Yes.
But I have, you know, started out really as a curiosity and about, okay, what would it be like to play with men? And I've done it. It's like, hey, I like this.
And I've had a lot of sex in my life.
I heard you talking about it earlier.
Yes. And especially I've noticed with straight men and men who identify as straight.
Right.
But may have sex with other men from time to time because it's easy.
Right.
And it's satisfying for the moment.
Right.
Now, there's probably not lust in it for them, but there certainly is. They enjoy the ejaculation part.
Right.
So
it's more almost like a mechanical?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's the same. With women, it's more intimate.
Yeah.
Like, I love to cuddle with women and stuff, but with men, it's more, you know, having an orgasm and all that type of stuff.
Men have different types of sex.
Yeah.
I can't speak for women, but I know that there's the romantic type of sex
with the
person that you really care about.
Oh, yeah.
But there's also quickies and like you said, maybe mechanical sex, if you want to call it that, but it's just the idea of getting off.
Yeah, that's the idea is when I get with a guy, you know, like at a swingers party, so we can just get it on, you know. But with a woman, I like spend all day with her, you know. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm with like somebody that, like David, we can kind of like take our time and whatever.
Sure.
And then some days I just like want to get it over with, get it fast, and other times I just want to just be there. So it's a different thing, but most of the time when I just find some woman, I can spend all day with her, you know. It's like we can just cuddle and just whatever, touch and whatever. But with me, and it's more like, you know, let's go in here and do it. You know.
Yeah. Okay, I'm quoting this article we talked about. Where the article started out was talking about, this article I'm quoting was originally published about 1993, and it was just after the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy had gone into effect.
Okay.
And the author is talking about, you know, question of gays in the military, what effect would it have, and of course why some, you know, straight men might object to it.
Because of being seen as a lust object, maybe in the showers or something like that.
And what they're arguing here, what this guy's arguing here, and I can say I've had this kind of pick up this my own personal experiences, you know, say a gay man, in theory, did make it past a straight man.
Mm-hmm.
The straight man might find himself being interested.
Oh, that would be the problem.
Right.
You know, saying no is easy, but if you're interested, then you have to examine your own orientation.
Right.
Yeah, you know, they've been taught that, oh, that's not masculine. You're getting all this information from the media, your parents, culture. But you know, you're constantly being told that's, and I heard that a lot of times being gay is weak, which is not true.
No, not at all. Ask the guys who were on the rugby team.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But see, being in the military, it can be, I'm not saying it is,
right,
but can be similar to being incarcerated.
Yeah.
Because you are with the same sex for long periods of time, and especially if we're talking about very young guys,
right,
with raging hormones, they might find themselves, okay, yeah, let's do it, you know, because I'm horny.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean that they're homosexual or
right,
even bisexual.
Mm-hmm. It happens in the women's prisons. What's so interesting about the women's prison is the women, they accept it. It's like,
absolutely.
It's like, okay, I got this lover over here, you know, mm-hmm, because we confide in each other when we have problems. Well, men are taught not to do that.
Yeah.
So it's more like a pecking order or a totem pole type thing where
I'm on
top and you're the bottom, or I'm your, you know, B-I-C-T-H, mm-hmm, you know, type thing. Well, women, it's more like we're lovers.
Yeah.
Even though you're heterosexual, you know, you go back in the world and be with your husband or whatever.
Yeah.
Because we confide in each other, and it's more like, you know, cuddling and being intimate instead of more sex.
Yes.
Because
absolutely,
I heard you can't, it's hard to get a dildo in there.
Yeah, I would think
so. Yeah,
so
right. I mean, so a lot of times it's, the only thing they really do is probably go down on each other, but I mean, a lot of times it's more of an intimacy, emotional thing,
yeah,
than the sex. Well, with men, it's more mechanical.
It is more sex, and especially in a men's prison, there's not a lot of time because,
right,
you know, you have to do it on the sly, and you have to do it when the guards aren't around.
Right.
Yeah, and like you,
yeah,
said, you had this pecking order thing. I can imagine you listen to prison show. You hear about it a lot,
yeah,
especially with your friend that you every now and then get mails from,
mm-hmm,
or hear about. There's a lot of that going on. I have a lot of family members that have been in prison, and they told me some stories. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
It's like straight-out rape to me, you know?
Ooh.
So it's a different
concept. It can be that way, yeah.
That's the reason why, in a way, I'm kind of glad I'm female, as I end up going to prison. I don't have to worry about being accosted.
And you seem to have enough sense in your head not to keep out of a situation like put you in prison.
But that's what you're describing, prison and,
mm-hmm,
and somewhat in the service, would be situational,
right,
mm-hmm,
homosexuality, where it only exists in that sphere and
right,
not elsewhere.
I find it very sad that a lot of these people are gay, and the only time they can really be out is when they're not in the military, when they're out.
Yeah.
On lead or something,
yeah,
and then they can be gay. It's like, that's kind of sad, because it's like, it'd be nice for them to be able to be like that, even in the military. And there's a lot of gay people that wouldn't flirt or wouldn't hit on anybody,
well,
or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
They're just gay. It's just like me,
yeah,
being black, you know,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes. And those same arguments about, you know, seeing another, you know, having a gay guy,
uh-huh,
with you in the shower is the same argument,
uh-huh,
right,
that years and years and years ago that the white community said about the black, well, I don't want to shower with a black,
right,
guy.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Same thing.
I mean, they saw many gay people that are not promiscuous, that don't go out. There's some,
mm-hmm,
of them that are like, don't have sex until they meet the right guy. There are gays like that. They get with just one guy and be with them for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the ones that are like very, it's just like straight people.
Absolutely.
You got straight people that do the,
yes,
same thing.
Right.
And you got bi's that does the same thing.
And the thing that's going to topple Don't Ask, Don't Tell is that gay people are in the military in Britain.
Right.
Gay people are in the military in Israel.
Right.
And many other European countries.
Uh-huh.
And there has not been a problem.
Right.
There's been studies done on it, and how there's not a problem with gay men being open and in their core. In the service, it's a different attitude. It's a camaraderie. It's brotherhood.
You have to depend on each other.
Right,
it's your
right.
life dependent on
that's
it.
That's right. That's right.
And it's what, but it's like, this country is so right-wing and so religious-based and everything. It's like, how are we supposed to learn to coexist with each other? It took forever for us black people to even be equal in the military, and sometimes it's a struggle. I mean, I know it's still a struggle with women, even though women are doing well. There's still things going on where women are being harassed or whatever. But how in the world are we supposed to learn how to coexist with each other when we constantly putting these rules up where we can't even... It teaches you how to... Oh, he's not hitting on me and stuff. Well, I'm freaking out over him for?
Yeah.
You know, it teaches you how to be tolerant and go... In turn, to find out, he might save your life in the battlefield.
Plus, right. there's so much homophobia in this country.
Oh, God.
Especially in the service area, in the athletics, all stemming from, oh, a gay guy may see me in the shower. And you see, there's a whole generation now of young men who either don't even shower after athletics or shower in their underwear, if you can imagine that.
Well, I mean, I've run into guys that are so macho. Has one friend that he had, this lady got drunk, she passed out, so they messed with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, don't you know that's rape? He said, well, she shouldn't have been getting drunk. I said, well, what if they had some gays there?
Yeah.
Oops, you got drunk. Oh, we're going to go play with him. He's like, oh, he's you know, it's like, that's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
It's like, why is it okay for you, if a woman was taking a shower with you, for you to attack her or treat her really crappy, and you worrying about these guys doing it, and it probably won't even happen?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and see what you're doing to other people. It's that, like, I mean, David was telling me about it earlier. Well, they treat women like that. Maybe they feel like, no, they don't even notice that. They think it's okay because it's a female. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And that stems from the heterosexual ideal of looking at women as pieces of meat.
Exactly.
Right. But when it's turned around looking at them as a piece of meat, then it's entirely different and they freak out.
It's like World War III here.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's the same thing.
It is the same thing. And when it happens to them, they don't like
it. And they freak out. I mean, the guy
they don't like it.
It's like... Well, why are you doing it to women? They don't even realize that it's the same thing until I bring it up with men all the time.
Huh?
Well, she shouldn't have been doing it. It's just like somebody was saying, well, how come they were telling me this when we went to my cousin's, my nephew's graduation, and one of his friends was very, very dressed up, very nice. My cousin, she's in college, played college basketball. So I was looking at her myself. Good God. She had on like this dress. It was yellow. It was fitting like a glove on her. And she had very big butt and a very big legs, hips and everything. And David was like,
she was looking good.
Oh,
right.
Woo, my goodness. Serena Venus or something. But I mean, and David was saying, well, why is she dressed like this? She's just letting everybody... She should have the right to dress like that. She got the body.
That's right.
And I should respect her. Even though I said I wanted to jump her, trust me. But I respected her because I don't want nobody else to do me.
Enjoy the beauty for what it is.
I mean, it's a guy walking around with no shirt on, and he's like, I mean, I do the same thing with him.
Sure.
I respect him, though, even though he's a guy. I said, men has to learn, well, she shouldn't have been dressed like that. No, you need to learn how to control yourself and have respect for the people.
Yeah.
I mean, my own experience, game with Robin, I come over to her apartment, she comes over to the house spend the night, and sometimes we get it on, other times she's not in the mood. Of course, in fact, I'm always in the mood. I just have that awareness.
Yes.
In the new warrior work that I've all we talk about keeping the shadow in front of us. In other words, this thing that may be kind of lurking back there, by acknowledging it and saying, you know, figuratively speaking, keeping it in front of me, I see it. It's like, okay, this is where I am. This is where I am. Okay. I have it. There's nothing wrong with the thing itself. Just be careful with it.
Yeah.
So I don't hurt myself or hurt somebody else with it. The fact that I have
Respect other people, yes.
The fact that I have a sexual attraction is not the issue. It's more how I express it, how I use
it. Exactly. It's how you do it. And that's, guys kind of feel like, oh, they have the right to just do that, you know, go up and gawk on some woman and say something rude, you know, say something that's going to really irritate her. It's like, I would go up to a guy and, oh, you really work out, don't you? Yeah, you've got a really nice form there. I like that. I mean, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it in a respectful way. I went up to Lay and told her, you really got a nice form there. I mean, you take care of yourself very nicely, and the lady say, thank you very much, appreciate that.
And that's what
I didn't think
about.
I look all that good.
But, you know, to really ogle a woman and say something really crass to her, it's like, do you really think this woman is going to hop into bed with you when you're treating her that way?
I mean, they think that way. They don't really think. They think it's okay.
It isn't okay.
And it's not.
No.
And they are tripping over gay people doing it to them. It's like, and that's, it doesn't even happen as often as people think it
does. Oh, no. Of course not.
I heard of a situation not too long ago in this other group involved with, where apparently was an incident where a gay man or a couple of gay men made a comment about a straight man, and the straight man did not find that comfortable. And it wasn't a situation in which it should have been apparent, people would have been respectful.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it's been resolved, but, still it's kind of like somebody had gone to another man who happened to be gay, and the guy's asking, do gay men do this? And the guy answered back, well, do you straight men do that to women? Yes.
Well,
I mean, you run into straight people that have a little bisexual in them a little bit, or they get drunk or something. I got kicked out of my company once, and it wasn't my fault. Well, I was shooting pool with my friend, and he's heterosexual. I think he may be bisexual, but he just haven't admitted yet. Anyway, he decided to shoot pool with his other gay friend, his other gay guy that was there. He decided to bring his brother with him. His brother's supposedly straight. So, we all drinking and stuff. Evidently, his brother didn't have any money. So he was flirting with the men, trying to get some drinks.
Ooh.
Anyway, one of them figured, okay, it's okay for me to touch him or whatever. He touched him. And he ended up hitting the guy. So next, the whole place is fighting.
Oh, damn.
It's like, so they didn't know what was going on. They thought maybe it was us. So we all got thrown out. It's like, oh, crap. But it's like, that happened a lot, too. You have these straight guys that get a little drunk. What's that article that you had?
I have an article somewhere that talks about the drunk bisexual, basically.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I mean,
how many times have I done that? been with a straight guy who had too much to drink or masked it by expressing himself as more drunk than he really was, so that he could lose his inhibitions, do what he wanted to do sexually, and then wake up tomorrow morning and not remember a thing.
Right. He had the best time, he couldn't remember.
It's one of those things where, is that really the real guy inside, and the alcohol helps to bring it out, or is it something else?
And in many cases, it is the alcohol that is dropping the inhibitions,
right,
because the guy could not bring himself to do what he really wanted to do sober.
Since I don't drink, I've never really been drunk, so I hear stories like that, and I do ask that question, did the alcohol bring out something that was already there, or was that the alcohol doing the talking?
I think it's a little bit of both. It's losing the inhibitions through the alcohol, plus using the alcohol as an excuse to do what you really want to do sexually.
Right.
Because I find out when I get drunk, I act the exact same way I do, except a little more goofier than usual.
Right.
And sometimes I got to be careful, because normally I can be nude and don't mind it.
Uh-huh.
So I got to be careful not to get nude when I'm drunk in public. It's like, whoa.
Well, you're like a drink after the show tonight.
I see.
Oh, you've seen me drunk before.
Yeah.
I get really, really goofy.
Right. You haven't stripped naked in public yet, but
I try not to do that. I don't want to go to jail, have my mom bail me out, and she's giving me these really bad looks, like, oops.
Anyway, I got a comment. you know, talking about in this article about, you know, straight, you know, quote-unquote straight men find themselves in homoerotic situations.
Yes.
And I would say that's kind of what originally got me asking questions, because when I talk about my own bisexuality, traditionally I thought of myself as straight, but when I really think about it, yes, the potential has always been there.
Sure.
But it's a combination of the social messages, the fact that, well, I'm looking at this lady, I tend to look at her more than the guys, so maybe I guess I'm straight, and again, the social messages, and in a way, just not knowing is, yeah, you can be interested in both. I kind of just had the assumption that it was one or the other.
Yes.
I find what's so interesting about David, too, when I first met him, I actually thought he was more gay.
Really?
Because he was more, he's more phoretic and more easier for him to get flirt with a guy, or maybe like he goes mental and stuff. Get him around a bunch of women and he's like,
I tend to be more comfortable around men in general, you know, with exceptions sitting next to me right here.
But, yeah.
You know, generally speaking, at least emotionally, I'm more comfortable with men than women.
I mean, yeah, I was thinking about that. I asked him, if I never confronted you and gave you my number and everything, we probably would have never gotten together.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think straight men are used to a lot of rejection. Mm-hmm. You know, because they try to come on to a woman or try mm-hmm. to start a conversation and get, you know, get cut down.
Comes with the territory that I heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I know it. There's a lot of that with gay men too. Oh, yeah. Robert's leaving us.
Okay,
bye, Robert.
Good night.
But yeah, David. I asked David that, and he said, "Yeah, you're right. Probably wouldn't have never gotten together. Right. I mean, being so aggressive.
I'm such a shy boy." Yeah, you know, I was talking about, you know, homoerotic situations, but. Yeah, you know, I'd have experience with maybe come across a photo of a nude man and kind of get my attention, you know. I say, generally speaking, a guy, naked guy's still going to get my attention more than a guy wearing clothing.
Well, yes.
Right. But what experiences I had that really got me asking, I participate in the sweat lodge ceremonies. I've been doing that for years. And what happened is that the groups I was involved with, it was, you know, men and women, everybody was wearing something, you know, swimming trunks. You know, the women might be wearing these so-called sundresses, whatever. But if I went to a sweat lodge where it was predominantly men, 9 times out of 10, we did it naked. And so there,
yes.
And so there I am in this situation looking at this nude man just wondering, I'm having some feelings here, which I keep thinking I'm not supposed to, but I'm going to still ask questions. And just ask, you know, ask him, oh, why is this bad and all. And this kind of just evolved from there to the point where I said, hey, I'm curious, I want to go experiment. And, you know, it's sort of like first, you know, had my first quote unquote experience with a man, you know, 5, 7, or 8 years ago. You know, official, I guess. In practice, me and my cousin played around when we were kids, but I don't quite count that as the same.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, both a case of, oh, wow, hey, I kind of enjoyed this, and feel a little bit shocked because I enjoyed it. Because all those social messages, which I had taken in without giving second thought about.
Yeah.
And like I said, I still find myself struggling with that. But at the same time, I'm willing to go through the struggle because I feel like the outcome is worth it. And you know, we've got people coming in and out of the studio and saying goodbyes and all that. Anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
But again, just repeating what I was saying, I find myself with a struggle, you know, about all the social messages and all. But I'm willing to deal with that because I feel like the outcome is worth it because, you know. Yeah, you know, honestly, I occasionally like to go play with a guy and enjoy it.
Yeah,
even
I know what
still
you mean.
Like the women, too.
Yeah.
You know, I want that freedom, but be able to express myself sexually in, you know, many ways.
Yeah, my experience was a little different. When I came out, it was like, bam, I'm out. You know, there wasn't any guilt in it. But one of the major guilt problems I had is me being a fundamentalist for all those years. I had to deal with that part. It wasn't a part of me just being out and, I'm scared, that type of thing. It was more like, okay, God is not going to like that, you know, type thing and stuff. So I had to get that out of my system. It took me about maybe a good 3 to 4 years for it to really get out of my system.
Yeah.
And once I got out of my system, like, whew, finally, you know. But being with women, it was easy for me to flirt with a woman and what. It wasn't a big deal. As a matter of fact, I find it 50-50, me being with a man or woman.
Now, just as a side note, I know three or four gay men who, in an earlier, they're probably in their mid-40s now, but say when in their 20s or even or teens, they were members of fundamentalist churches and very devout and all that, and it's like, I find that interesting when I think about it, but that's where they were then, look where they are now, and probably what mental gyrations they had to go through to get through that. And
no kidding.
Of course, again, same thing. I know several gay men who were married and have kids. And again, it's like they're in their late 30s, early 40s before they finally, before they admit to themselves that they're gay.
So
when I look at my own situation, why did I take, it's like my earlier mid-40s when I started to realize, hey, I do have some bisexual tendencies. Like, why did it take so long? Well, considering some of these other men have gone through, what right do I have to complain?
Sometimes I wonder about those guys that had a little bisexual because they managed to have children and stuff. I ran into some gays that they can look at a naked woman or whatever and nothing happens. It's like no eyes. And
no arousal of anything.
Nothing. I mean, the penis is as flat as all out, like a tire. I had my friend Mark, a woman gyrate all on him and stuff and grab all of him and nothing.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And then you got some that can get a woman. So I was wondering, could they be like maybe a little head bisexuality going on there? They managed to be intimate with a woman and play it off so well that the woman don't even know about it.
Right. And it's like, in my situation, generally speaking, I will find, generally speaking, a woman more arousing than a man.
Sure.
But if some guy starts, like I said, gyrating on me, it's got to get my attention. I've got one to respond.
Okay.
So you got these gays that are straight up 6 or 7. And then you got some that are maybe a 5 or whatever. They can play it off, the woman never know about it. And then you got some people, I knew he was gay all the time. Like, duh.
And also in my case, I've noticed if I'm in most of the world, I'm looking at people. Yeah, I'll see some guy. I'm like, he looks kind of nice. But I see a woman next to him, I'll tend to have a stronger attraction.
Sure.
Woman. Put me in a predominantly gay male environment, I'm going to be checking out all the men.
Sure.
And not necessarily if they're good looking. I was like, I wonder if I could play with him. So, like, who's available?
And I find it that
I understand this, right. Yes.
And I find it now.
And I find that if it was a man and a woman, I find that it's easier for David to easily flirt with the guy and look at him more than he does with a woman. Because when he told me that he's attracted more women, attracted more to women than he is with men, I was like, what?
Yeah. I'm generally speaking more comfortable with men.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
Because you understand how a guy works sexually.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And, of course, there's an attraction to the opposite sex, but women are mysterious. For men, gay or straight, you never really understand women, but you understand how men work,
right? Heck, I got my own body to use as a reference.
So when you're a bisexual, it's much easier to relate sexually to another.
See,
man.
Yeah, I get that. So it took me a while to figure it out because I'm so comfortable with men. It's like, yeah, they're different. They think different than I do, and they came from a different perspective. But for some reason, I can be comfortable with them. I think it has something to do with me being kind of butchy.
Yeah.
But, like I said, some people are more comfortable with one sex than the other.
No, I've sometimes said one of the things I like about you is you are kind of butchy. it's easier for me to relate to you that way.
Yeah, because, like you said, if I was real, real feminine, you'd be like, you get uncomfortable. You feel uncomfortable with it. I can understand that.
Anyway. I say, most of the men who I've, talk about, say I'm more comfortable with men generally speaking, and even the men, most of my close male friends or people I know say through the new warrior training or similar groups who are, as a group, willing to take a look at how their wives are working, that we got feelings and all, and willing to, take a closer look how our lives work or not out I really don't hang out with guys that go out, you know, drinking, you know, go out to bars drinking every Saturday or Friday.
We don't hang out with guys that are very macho type. Not the guys in the words like macho.
Right.
Well, we're wrapping it. Jim's wrapping it up.
Okay. Yeah.
So we gonna have to kill the show.
Up. Well, okay. Not right away, but you know, we got another minute.
Okay.
I wanted to say is you can check us out every first Saturday of the month on Sunday morning, and basically before you come and listen to our show, we have bi movie night, and we always try to pick a movie that has some bi themes in it, or maybe bisexual actors playing in it, or bisexual.
The Bi-Net Houston group meets first Saturday night of month over here at the Gay and Lesbian.
Community Center.
Community Center over here, Hawthorne, Montrose.
Uh-huh. 3400 Montrose. Yeah.
And we follow in the conversation we have tonight on to the third Thursday of the month. We meet at the Harvard Cafe.
Now, what is that, the third Thursday?
The third Thursday.
And it's at 7:30 p.m. And you can we continue on the discussion on there, the personal one-on-one. You can actually get some wonderful buffalo burgers and other things there. It's really good.
Do you get much of a crowd?
Right now, it's just been kind of a handful of us, about four or five of us.
Okay.
We welcome more people. I mean, they actually give us own room if we get a whole bunch of people.
You can contact Robin and I directly by email. Special email address is, you know, by agenda, BIAGENDA at peoplepc.com.
Gotcha. You can always try by Ned Houston.
Yeah, or of course contact us through the show here. So you definitely be interested in hearing from people.
Okay.
Continue the conversation.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, no problem. Okay. We'll see you next week. Next month.
Next month. Or, you know, you.
You never know. I might be here next week with Gigi. I get on with Gigi.
That's right. Gigi will be here.
He's the one that broke me into the bisexuality scene.
He's broken a lot of folks.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll blame him.
It's his fault.
Thanks.
All righty.
You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old listener-supported station KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston. We'll be seeing you next week, and stay tuned for What's Up Next. What's Up Next?
Measure Schmidt, World Domination Happy Hour.
You heard it. You heard it. And the hot man is right behind me, ready to go. So I'm going to put this in your ear, and the next thing you're going to hear is him.
KPFT has just completed its Spring 2007 membership drive. If you're one of the many listeners who joined this drive, thank you very much. You've made a contribution to your community that is appreciated. It will go a long way to bringing you the great radio you've come to enjoy. Before you know it, your membership envelope will arrive in the mail. Don't forget to pay your pledge. The great feeling you get when you support KPFT feels even better once you drop that check in the mail. And if you missed your chance to join and support the news, music, and other great programming you hear each day, there's still time. Join online at kpfd.org and do your part. Your pledge is tax deductible, and if your employer has a matching gifts program, your pledge could be double. That's kpft.org to pledge now. Thanks again. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.